And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear. No fear here on Declare Your Independence from me, Ernest Hancock. And John Bush is in New York covering the Roswell Brick trial. You know, let's go ahead and get right to him. We don't want to miss a second. Okay, John, tell us what's going on, man, and what you're doing there. And real quick, I know we only got you one segment. You got to get down to the court and tell me everything. Go.
Well, there wasn't a trial yesterday because of the epic snowstorm that was actually pretty weak. But on Monday's proceedings, which was day seven in the trial, it was another rough day for the defense. Unfortunately, we heard from Gary Alford, a special agent with the IRS, our favorite institution, if you're a liberty person, and he explained how he was led to the identity of Ross Ulbricht through a series of simple Google searches. He searched on a forum post, find the first mention of Silk Road. That led him to a WordPress site, silkroad420.wordpress.com, and then he found a username that started posting about it before Silk Road was mentioned anywhere else. That username was Altoid. He searched that username's previous posts on Bitcoin Talk and found a job listing that encouraged people to send emails to rossulbricht@gmail.com. And that's basically when the authorities were first tipped off to Ross Ulbricht's association with Silk Road.
Okay, why did the IRS care?
He was with the New York Organized Crime Drug Strike Force, and they must have been, it was his first time to be on the strike force, and I guess they just picked up on drugs being transported through New York City through the mail or something. They didn't really get into the specifics on why he was actually starting to look.
Wow. Okay, so Ross is in the process of being processed for what crime? How many crimes are there? What are they alleging?
Well, he's facing several serious federal charges, among them conspiracy to traffic narcotics, conspiracy to sell illegal hacking software, conspiracy to sell fraudulent documents, and the biggest charge that he's facing is continuing a criminal enterprise, which is also known as a kingpin charge, which is a charge that they generally reserve for mafia dons and large, you know, cartel leaders. And that's the charge that he could face 30 years to life if he's found guilty of that one.
Wow, this is, they make an example out of Ross, are they not?
Yeah, I think so. This is the first type of case to really be prosecuted. And they're well aware that right after he was arrested and they shut down Silk Road, Silk Road 2.0 came out. There's other markets like Agora Marketplace. Now we have Open Bazaar, which is decentralized and doesn't have a Dread Pirate Roberts to shut down. So I think they're worried about that, and they're trying to create a disincentivization for future people to do it. But again, the beauty with these distributed autonomous organizations like Open Bazaar, and that this is what the future holds with this technology, as you know, there's no way to shut it down when there isn't a human being to lean on or to prosecute.
Wow. This is, the tighter their fist, the more star systems leak between their fingers. So,
that's right.
You know, okay, all right. Well, what role is jury nullification playing in this at all? Is they kind of, you know, stead down? Are they going to start amping up again or what?
Well, as many people are aware, there was some jury nullification activists here leading up to the trial, and then on the first couple days, and the judge was not very happy about that, nor was the defense attorney. So he made a statement during the trial that he didn't think it was helping the case. He was rather animated when he said it, too. Lynn and Ross's father also said they didn't want it to happen, so there was some discussion amongst the activists, and everybody agreed not to continue on. However, there's a couple people, or one person actually, that's still pushing for it. I personally think whenever we're in these situations, the number one goal is to get our good friend Ross to safety, and jury nullification comes second. And if the defense attorney, who I see as the captain steering the ship, thinks that it's not helping this instance, then we should probably yield his thoughts.
You know, in hindsight, when we look back at this, we may think that, or learn the lesson, that regardless of what anybody's opinion, it comes down to the best chance that he had would have been a hung jury. And if that, you know, comes about, we just need to remember that lesson for the future. But, you know, when you got mom and dad and defense attorney, it'd be interesting what Ross says, you know. But, Now, is there any way to communicate with him? Does he get to communicate with anybody in some form in the courtroom?
No, I know there was some viewing. His mother and family went to see him yesterday, or today they're going to visit him. I heard them talking. I heard from Julia Turiansky on her YouTube page that he was no longer allowed to turn around and interact with his parents. However, he was doing that during the trial on Monday, so I'm not sure if that's the case.
All right. Well, jury nullification. You know, this is, I mean, given the circumstances, if I'm in there and they always, I give you an example. We had a Viper militia thing going on in the late 90s here, and a good friend of ours was in with all that, and we knew it all would be a bunch of BS. At the sentencing, everybody was like, no, be nice, they're going to, and no. My daughter, Sierra, when she was only probably 6 or 7, brought in a stuffed animal and said, "We love you, Dean." And then the national media came up and zoomed in on her. Oh, he got me Wags, my stuffed animal. He's a good guy and all that kind of. In the end, they determined that probably was better than not. But the point is that whatever they say and the perception the juries have and all the stuff that goes into it, and I just, you can't, like, do it after. So I'm just uncomfortable with this overwhelming evidence of the parade of how we're going to put this kingpin behind bars forever and always. You don't get another chance to sway the jury. And I'm glad that they were out there long enough to have some kind of a seed planted, maybe. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. Has the defense really, other than cross-examination, presented their case yet?
No. The prosecution still has a few more witnesses to call, among them some people that were arrested for selling drugs on Silk Road. And the defense will start shortly after that. And it was actually alluded to by the defense attorney, Dre Tell, that it's not known yet whether Fulbright will testify or not. So usually it's a no-brainer. We don't want to get our defendant up there. We don't want him to incriminate himself. But I think because the evidence is so strong against him at this point, he may need to testify and show the jury his human side.
Now, he needs to show them they like him. You know, if they don't like him, they don't care. You know, wow, okay. I mean, how's the family holding up? You talking to them? Are they nervous?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing well. Many people know Lynn, his mother. She basically is his biggest advocate, went on a road tour across the country ever since he's been arrested, raising money and spreading awareness. And she's an extremely strong woman. I mean, I could tell it's hard for them. Whenever the prosecution brings up some of this really hardcore evidence, I could tell that they just really don't want to believe it. And they're holding up just fine. They're strong. But, I mean, at the end of the day, they're meant to be put away for a really long time, and that's what matters most, in my opinion.
Yeah. And when it's all over, we're all going to sit here and debate whatever. And then are there issues for appeal? I mean, are they, they think, oh, they messed up on this and we'll get them later and we'll be in court still for another years before?
Yes, there's so many objections, especially from the defense. They have a running objection.
A running objection to what?
Anytime a screenshot gets entered, they're objecting because there was a recent ruling that said you can't have that admissible as court screenshots because they could be fabricated.
Oh. So the judges said, yeah, screw you, we're doing it anyway?
Basically, but hopefully an appeals court will think differently if he is found guilty. That's the hope.
Well, keep us informed. Get to the court, man. We look forward to your updates.
This is Charles Boyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family.
Are you on your way over there now?
Yeah, I'm just finishing getting dressed and running out to the subway.
So did you raise enough money? You covered to get and do this stuff? Everything good?
No. So far, we're like 25% to our goal of 7,000. And if we're not able to raise enough, we'll probably send Derek Bros up here, who has a lighter footprint than I do, next week. So we're still pushing strong, and it's doing pretty well. I'm hoping we'll get some more donations by the end of the week, and then take it from there.
Yeah, just crank out some video, man. That's what does it.
Yeah, for sure. That helps, for sure.
All right, man. Well, let me know what we can do.
All right, cool. Let Donna know I got the video fixed.
He, okay, I got it. You got it? Okay, she knows what that means. All right, thanks, John. Good job, buddy.
Y'all have a good one.
Bye.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Good morning. We're still getting up here. We were up late last night. Drew and Derek doing installing Fiend Phone. You know, this is, I understand the benefit of this. Fiend Phone is real high quality audio. See, in the radio industry, the big thing is you know, it's the microphone. You know, I switch to a different microphone. It gives me a lot more lows. And the highs are not so bad. So it's I had this one before. It's just that it picks up whatever. I'm still learning. So what goes after the microphone, of course, is the wiring. You use a quality wires, and then you have it plugs into something. That's got to be a quality something that goes into something. You're always looking for the weak link. And Fiend Phone is really, 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 man, the sound on that is, and I'll tell you, there are lots of machines that are used to give that quality that Derek Slopey did with software. You know, Michael W. Dean had this kind of, because he didn't like Skype the way it worked on certain. And I can see the compromises made on Skype is for it to be able to work well with people that have laptops that, you know, have bad, you know, speakers, microphones, be able to cancel out one ever that hears and the echo of, and kind of, it's just a real pain in the butt. But they're trying to make everybody that has crap audio, you know, no condenser mics and the headphones, or no headphones and so on, a speaker off of your laptop, to make it sound good or be usable. Well, that's a wide adoption. It has a wide appeal for a lot of people for a lot of things, and we use it. But the canceling part of it, some those that are regular listeners to the show, sometimes you'll hear the guests go, I'm getting an echo, and the echo's gone. It was the processing of it that Skype was, we found out where it was, is that the Skype is the one taking the echo out at the expense of you can't talk at the same time. So it shuts off my ability, their speakers as they're talking. Well, that means that, you know, that they're sometimes just got to go to music, you know, and you just keep talking. And so Fiend Phone is a lot higher quality. Now, there's things they call ISDN lines. When we use phone lines, you have a specific line that's made just for carrying data, you know, convert it in some way. And you have to have an ISDN box. And these things, heck, when they're new, they're thousands of dollars. Used, you're $1,200. And it's just a little box, you know. And all these electronic Comrexes, you know, there's a lot of things you'll hear us say Comrex. There's a lot of high end. Now, some of them are really cool. We have remote units that, you know, I got years ago. And then Free Talk Live, you see them out on remotes. They use the same machine. And you can get all the gizmos and gadgets, and it works really well. But the you have to have these that little access, the one little machine. It's like $4,000. I mean, these things are enormous. In the rack, you know, there's a couple thousand dollars there. Thousands and thousands and thousands. So Michael W. Dean was like, you know, no, no. We can do this software and directly connect and fix it and just do it from your computer and rock and roll and whatnot. So he knew what he wanted. Derek created it. They did it. And they're installing it last night here. And they discovered, because of the way it's set up, they discovered there was some, they call it mix minus. It's because I have, you know, the video that goes out. We have a separate computer that we run Skype on and may play videos and, you know, and show graphics and stuff like that. And then, you know, my video switcher, I go from, you know, one camera to another to another to another to another to, oh yeah, outside. And we go into the dome and so on. Yeah, we've been working. We got to get another camera on the first dome. There's not one inside because we've been doing a lot of landscaping, you know, and getting everything all set. And you trim back the jungle and start over and get the, you know, good, healthy stock of root of plant. And you just, man, rock and roll. And we got some hanging stuff and doing strawberries and stuff. So, you know, we'll get on that. So these switchers, we can go from one camera to another. The Skype computer, this one computer, I have an audio computer that records everything, a video recorder that records the video, and then we have a one in the system that I can play audio from, like music videos, or I want to show you videos of different things, and of course Skype and, you know, graphics. Well, and then the other channel goes outside and into the security system on the dome, so you can see. And the thing is that I need to get that one Skype computer that's just, it's got to have this mix minus thing going into the professional board that's behind me, you know, that thing. So I'm going, all right, we're working on it. It's not them, it's me. And it's something that's needed to be fixed for a long time. As we're going to start doing more syndication, you know, we've been setting up other computers. There's another network that we've been working with on different stuff. And I'm just, it's getting to the point that I'm going to have to start focusing, you know, on the show more. And I may, as time goes on, if we go ahead and expand the show, expanding the show would be mean that I need somebody else to do some more work that Donna doesn't have to. That's what it means. There's so much more. I wish I had a clone. You know, when I was producer for Charles Goyette, he would call it the frosting. You know, we had the base stuff. We get everything all set up and doing the guest and kind of whatever. And then a lot of my job was frosting, you know, just a bunch of, you know, skits or different audio clips or graphics or, you know, and we didn't do video, but I, you know, have a lot of different, you know, audio clips from a lot of video that we would see on TV, and I would record different things, go on the net and find and little funny, you know, and sound effects and all this stuff. And because we have video, we have the capacity with the video switcher to do green screen. Well, I have guests here. We even got it set up and everything. It's just, man, I can only do so many things, you know, at one time here and run the show. So there is a lot that we could do, you know, and we could add to the show and do a lot of things. I do a lot of work on activism, you know, setting up this, oh yeah, the BitcoinSummit.info thing. I mean, that's like, you know, the thing. That's going to be, that's been a lot of, it really, in less than a week, it's boom, it'll be done. You know, I've already about done. Heck, we got signs on pedal cabs. I mean, you know, there's 8 pedal cabs that are just saturating, you know, part of the fleet of these things for all these Super Bowl events that's going on this week, the NFL experience and all those concerts and events and playing ball of some kind here, basketball and different stuff going on. So during that, we had these pedal cabs that, you know, there's plenty of parking spaces here in Arizona. They're just really far away. So, you know, you're a half mile walk to whatever, just getting a pedal cab. Well, those pedal cabs have signs on them. One of my friends owns the company, and he gave me a good deal. You know, I get 8 of them this deal. Freedoms Phoenix and BitcoinSummit.info going all over the place. And I'm at the Super Bowl. Na, 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 na. And last night, Barry and I went to, Barry Hass, a friend of mine, we went to hear a discussion on immigration. It's an economic discussion group that I belong to, and this is, you know, a lot of leaders in political, you know, community. And one of the wealthy individuals that's a big contributor to the Republican causes, in fact, this gentleman, the first fundraiser in March of 07 when Dr. Ron Paul came, was at his beautiful home in Paradise Valley on the mountain overlooking. And he wanted to have a show. on immigration. So last night was all immigration. And it might be something we'll talk about when we come back, tell you what was said and done, and give you a summary of it and what's coming this political season, certainly in Arizona, which means everywhere. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Immigration. That was the issue last night. Also, I just, Doug Scribner from watchmybit.com, they said, hey, you know, yeah, that's great. You put up the Cody Wilson, Bruce Fenton, Bitcoin Foundation debate up on our thing. It's so cool. You should put all your stuff up there. Make some money, you know, or Bitcoin. Same thing. So I go, one, I didn't know. While we were at this meeting, Drew Phillips from Bitcoin.bombs is in studio working on setting stuff up and fixing our audio thing and getting the Fiend phone in. And with Derek, and I got the home in time to say, yo, what's up, and good night, Derek. But the they put up the Andreas Antonopoulos postmortem of the debate, and it needs to go up too. But it's getting a lot of traffic. I mean, I can see the downloads of the file. And the thing is that that file can be just copied and downloaded a billion times, and I'm sure there's a lot of people sending it all over the place anyway. Between Cody Wilson and Bruce Fenton for the Bitcoin Foundation, and that is on Watch My Bit. So you go to Watch My Bit, and boom, you can pay 50 cents, you know, per hour. So it's $1.50 to see the whole thing. And I'm going, okay, you know, hopefully I'm getting some of that. You know, I don't know if Drew's doing it or not. We got to find out when he gets up. But the but doing that, pushing, yeah, I'm really supportive of Watch My Bit. I think that's cool, cool, cool. And that's certainly something for covering, like, the Ross Ulbricht trial that I'm hoping that John Bush is using, Liberty Beat News. But my thing is that I always like having everybody have everything when they can get everything. I might be able to do, you know, the unedited, you know, extra bonus version. Oh, the extra time I go at the end, you know, it's good. You know, maybe I'll put that bonus. We'll start new video at the for the fourth hour kind of thing and do that. But we'll talk about it. We'll think about it. My thing is that I really, you know, want 2.0. And 2.0 is not on Amazon's cloud. I mean, it's just, and you got all these conditions for the artists and all that kind of stuff. Because I, even though I know these guys, well, Ernie, they said, and they complained, and they did, and you kind of, we got it, and I'm going, and it's just going to piss me off. I'm going to go, yay, freedom reigns. So I'm just going, I'm looking for distributed internet content of doing whatever. Now, Derek did demonstrate to me how he did it, and there's, in the video computer, you know, the answer is always yes. It's just, you know, how much or who do you know? And Derek, as a reward for all the hard work that he's put in, we're making sure that he's coming to the Bitcoin Summit, bitcoinsummit.info. So he's, you know, that's for all the work that Derek's been doing, just way above and beyond. You know, we're going to make sure he gets to come because he won't to come. So we'll do that. That seems fair. So what we're going to do is keep working on the ability to put distributed content up that can never be censored or taken down, and still put a bit payer layer thing on it and doing whatever, and that's what we're doing. So that is my intent, and Doug knows this. I'm just going, yeah, but, you know, I understand this wide adoption thing. I mean, you know, you guys, you go for it, man, work it out. You know, but for me, that's not really what my concern is. My concern is why it's always there. Because it's the memory hole. I've been around long enough, man. I'm telling you, if they can't change the news, they eliminate it. If they can't control the narrative, they shut up the narrator. If they can't determine what is spoon-fed to the masses, you know, they'll just eliminate the spoon. You know, there is no spoon. And that's one. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Wait. Let me get this rhetoric down. Copyright Ernie Hancock, if I cared about that. Okay, let's see. It'd be when spoon-feeding the masses, the pablum of tyranny. It's good for the freedom fighter to realize there is no spoon. Yeah, something like that. You guys work on it. Let me know. publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. I want to hear how we can use that. There is no spoon. You know, this is it, and that's kind of what I'm looking for, is that there's no spoon. Hey, you know what? You can't even bend it. It's not here. I see the future. I keep saying that. I see. I do. And if you can't see, well, I don't know. You know, you want to borrow my eyes a little bit? You know, that's what the show's about. And it's a lot of things that's coming to. And immigration, seriously, you know, it hadn't even been out of the first month. We're not even done with January yet. And everybody's already mad at the new Republican elected governor. And they go, well, what did you hear? Did you hear? You were right about it. I heard all last night. And I go, you know, I am very happy to report that I don't know and don't care. I mean, it's culture that's going to change. And that was one of the discussions about immigration, is that one gentleman, he said, you know, this is what's going to happen to Europe. This is what's been going here. This is, you know, the left always wants more immigrants because they think they get more votes and they offer them whatever and kind of this, and it gives them more power on a sinking ship. I mean, and there were a lot of problems. They were talking about the problems of immigration and culture change and all this other stuff. But they didn't, you know, mention anything about the lack of rights, the fundamental attacks on the good people that already are just here. You know, legal or not. I mean, you know, it's just you're walking down the street and, you know, stop and frisk and got your papers. And the solution, it built up. And it's a wealthy GOP Republican supporter guy that I like him, you know, nice enough guy. But he really sees America being lost, our culture being drained away. And he doesn't see it as the parasites in Washington, you know, because he, like, you know, he can influence who that's going to be or something from the list that they allow us, you know. But, you know, he doesn't see that as the problem. He sees a cultural shift in these people wanting to come and be free and prosperous and make a living as the problem. Well, they're taking it from up to it. Well, what do they bring with? I'm going, wait a minute. These people got off their butt off the couch and went through hardship to get here just so they could work? No. Welfare. Nah, that's not true. And I'm sure there's poster children for that. But, you know, I'm just going, yeah, no, the thing that you're sitting there talking about, you know, splinters in other people's eyes and ignoring the log in yours. And the log in our eye is this freaking government here. And the solution was they built up and, you know, drum roll, please, e-verify. Like that was going to fix everything. And that wasn't an imposition on everybody. Everybody had to have permission to work. And if you have that permission to work, that means they can say you don't have permission to work. So I'm that the cure is at least as bad, if not worse, than whatever you're trying to solve. But I do agree. You know, I think we all came to agree that it doesn't matter what laws you pass; it's going to happen. Whatever's going to happen. You know, there's going to be, you know, equilibrium of labor and jobs and so on. I mean, that's just the way it is. Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? And I try to be as good as I just sit there and I go out of respect, you know, for the gentleman that, you know, giving the presentation is Tom Jenny from Americans for Prosperity. Well, that tells you what you need to know right there. And I'm going, and I just went to him later. I go, he did a good job. And I know he doesn't believe a lot of this stuff that he's saying. He's more philosophically libertarian than most in that position. But, you know, there's patrons and there's jobs to do and there's, you know, the people to please. And that's just, you know, you put the best face on it. And they were making an argument between, I guess there was a debate or there was a writing competition, you know, outquitted kind of between Walter Block and Hans Hermann Hoppe, you know, or someone. And I'm going, wow, really? And they were arguing over different points and they were taking pieces of that discussion out and saying, see, they support, you know. And I go, and it just by happenstance, I just happened to have Walter Block on the radio last week. You know, and they're going, well, he's an anarchist. I go, I don't even sound very anarchist to me. He's all about supporting Rand for president, and this is going, I just had him on last week. You know, ha, 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 ha. And so this is a discussion that's being maneuvered and manufactured to create a crescendo to satisfy wealthy, certain individuals that have a position that want immigration to be continued at the top of the list in this stuff. You know, this Tea Party thing and everything. And I think you're going to find out that Generation Next and these younger guys and a lot of people don't care. That's not where they see the problem is. It's the government. They're the invaders.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Yeah, Donna's in there getting drew up, you know, and I'd like Donna to come in and get me up out of bed. That's good. That's better than not. You know, and he said he'd come in. We can talk about it. He was up late doing stuff. So what we're going to go ahead and we'll have in the second hour, we'll get discussion about that and about the, you know, BitcoinSummit.info. I mean, Drew didn't know anything about it until I'd already had it done by the time he even found it. He's like, wow, you know, let's rock and roll. So because there's a lot of things, you know, real quick, you go, okay, if we're going to do this, I need boom, 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 call the right people, get the tip, and it's done. You know, so that's what we do. You know, it's like when we had the guy on last week that designed that MyType keyboard I keep going on about. I really like that thing. It turns your freaking phone into a computer. Now it's just a keyboard. Man, I'm just going, yes, I've been looking for that for a long time. Well, what did the gentleman, you know, discover? Double engineering grad from MIT and a lawyer from, I don't know, Chicago somewhere. I'm going, wow, $400,000 over 30 years he spent on developing this to the point where he realized $400,000 taught him that he needed $15,000 in the right contacts. That's what I have determined also. You know the right people, and you're just, you know, find some overlapping mutual interest, and, you know, and whatever is not equalized is benefited by cash or Bitcoin or something, and you get stuff done. I mean, it's just, you know, so anyway, so that's what we're learning a lot of times. Now, the guys that we're having on next in the third hour is, it's called, what do they call it? Cubio Robotics. And immediately at the CES, I saw, you know, these young guys, and they're just got this little cube thing sitting in the middle of their square. It's all open, pretty sparse, you know, they're just boom. And, all right, tell me your spiel. Look at this. It seems interesting. All right, give me your spiel. Now, and you see, have a badge that says press, man, they're going to explain it to you. So they started going on, and I go, ah, within 20 seconds, I go, oh, it's Jarvis from Iron Man. They go, exactly! That's what we were going for. That's what inspired them. These are, you know, software engineers and hardware guys and everything. Young guys are probably, you know, 1925. And they go, oh, man, that was exact. Well, we had that same kind of aha. And when I was a teenager, I mean, oh, wouldn't it be great? Ooh, man, if there was a computer. If we had the knowledge, the circuitry, the legacy of 30 years of stuff done to make it to where I go down to Radio Shack and buy and whiz bang and done. You know, this is what the world is that they're growing up in. And they have access to, you know, little Arduino Raspberry Pi circuit boards of I make whatever. And there are 10,000 hours of playing with this kind of stuff and research on the internet, and talking to other people and going to forums and learning from people that give them leapfrogs and knowledge, and experience because these other guys have been doing it for decades, you know, or at least years, or they did the same searches and saved them 6 months. I mean, you know, I know what it's like to original go and look and find them from the beginning. It gives you a lot of, you know, you know better, but, you know, it's nice to just have it. Yeah, can't. Where's the just button on this keyboard, man? Well, what they did is they came up with Jarvis. Now, I haven't even seen this video. Donna found it and put it up. I saw the demonstration there. So we're going to watch this together. You know, this might be kind of cool. Let's see what they have to say about this thing.
Hello, I'm Cubic, and this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm your digital co-pilot, bridging the gap between you and all of your scattered technology. And talking to me is just like talking to a friend. It dropped to 50 overnight. I'd wear long sleeves. And a tie.
Why a tie?
You've got that meeting at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. I completely blanked on that.
You should probably take the train. It'll be 18 minutes faster than driving.
What would I do without you, Cubic?
Go to work without a tie? But I'm not just at home. You can bring me anywhere. Game of Thrones tonight.
If they kill off Tyrion, I have no reason to live.
That's pretty funny. Want to tweet it?
Hey, you know what? Let's tweet it. Wait, that's not too dramatic, is it?
Maybe a little, but it's you.
What, am I dramatic?
The train is coming.
Email from Stan. Do you have the finals from yesterday's shoot?
They're in my Dropbox. Can you share that with him?
Just did.
And can you ask Matt if we're still on for tonight?
Sure thing.
Hey, Matt, nice tie.
Thanks, Doug.
So you're excited for Game of Thrones tonight?
Yeah. Well, we can still go out, though.
Cubic, get the house ready. We're staying in tonight.
What about dinner?
Cubic, how many calories did I burn today?
1,100. You are a fitness goddess.
Cubic, order everything I'll need to cook chicken parmesan. And wine. We'll need some wine.
Don't forget the red pepper flakes.
Oh, thank you, Cubic.
Okay, I want you to try this.
I love you.
Wait, me or the sauce?
Or me?
Or me?
I love all of you.
But especially me, right?
Okay, for the radio audience, what you weren't seeing, a couple of things. Whenever she would say, okay, Cubic, we're going to stay in, get the house ready. And what that did is it interfaces with, what do they call it, Q or something. You know, it's the lighting mood thing, you know, the LED multicolor lights. And then you have the thermostat, the smart thermostat. So it sets the temperature at whatever you predetermine or tell it to. You have, you know, the lighting set, the, you know, the humidifier, which channel is on. I mean, you could, and there has been, you know, over the years, even as long as a decade ago, I remember people, that was a big deal. You read magazines and everything. If I'm a jet set and I got skills and, you know, my own jet, I can call my smart house and have it turn on lights and get stuff ready and doing whatever. I've known houses like this. And they never work. I mean, it's so complicated. And so I'm like, seriously, I see what this is supposed to do, but it ain't doing it, you know? And so it's gotten to where my friends that had a home like this, that next home they had just a farmhouse. They insulated really well and, you know, fixed up, made it nice and everything, but no electronic gizmo doodads. I mean, their phone and computers, but, you know, they you know, the house could just be stupid for all we care. Just sit over there and shut up. But, you know, this is, if you can get it to work, I can see where this would be an advantage. I mean, you know, cool. Because all it is just it looks like a square white clock radio. You know, the old cube clock radio is about, you know, 5-6 inches, you know, on a side. So I go, all right. You know, and how do you interface with it? Well, you do it through your phone, and you have a little doggle that you wear that you speak into. It's just like a, you know, a little square that's on your wired earphones or something. So by doing that, we already have it. They're just, you know, we call them smartphones, but they're really stupid. You know, they can't recognize, well, they are starting to recognize speech, but I wonder if they can do commands by, you know, when she said, hey, you know, so-and-so's wondering, she's a photographer, if the shots from the previous whatever the heck, oh, can you share my Dropbox? What just did. You know, you'd give it commands and they just do it. You know, it would be very nice to do. I know some people are very much like this. My friend Barry, he doesn't. He's sitting there talking. He just turns on the microphone while we're sitting there talking to show me how much it's picking up of everything we say and doing, and it's printing it out. Blah 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 blah. And I'm going, okay, well, you know, I'm whatever. I like to sit in quiet contemplation and then blurt it out, everything that I just processed for 5 seconds in the five-hour show. So I just started in the last week or two that I had a nice... I tell you what happened. It was baby Gabriel, you know, Elizabeth Jordan or Johnson or something like that. You know, when she not guilty. You know, Mark Victor was her attorney, and he just beat him up. And not guilty. They let her go late at night one time, and he needed me to kind of help, you know, block the press that was going to follow him and everything. And they had, you know, vans and press out there and such. And when he went and picked her up, I was kind of blocked them so they could take off and he could, you know, scoot her out and get away from whatever. So in the process, I'm going, yeah, well, I might get to, you know, say, yo, what's up? So I got a really nice little digital recorder. And I wanted to have the feature. Stephanie Murphy had something that was really nice. I saw at the New York Bitcoin Conference. I go, ooh, I want one of them. And I knew what I wanted. I wanted to be able to create an audio file that I could just download into the computer and do whatever editing I wanted. And instead of playing, I don't want to be jerking around. Just give me an MP3 file. And nice microphones and all that stuff. So now I'm using it because a lot of times you just come up with a great idea and you know, they're lost. So I'm now making a habit of, you know, 5 second recording. One of these days I'll get to it. I even do that text myself. I've never found those texts. I text them myself. They're somewhere. You know, so a lot of the, if I had, you know, a qubit and I go, hey, you know, remember this, do this, make a list, you know, that would be awesome. We'll talk about it in the third hour. They're going to tell us how far along they are on this. It looked like they had a working model for me. Jarvis in your own house. Wow. Drew Phillips in the next hour, get you caught up in all the stuff we're working on, and maybe some events you might want to come to. Oh, and we got Freedom's Phoenix pedal cabs all over the place during the Super Bowl.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Darryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. Silver is trading at $17.96 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,289 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $259. Antiwar.com reports claiming earlier in the day that Hezbollah had fired a pair of rockets at Israel, doing no damage and causing no injuries. Israeli artillery and warplanes attacked Syria on Tuesday, confirming direct hits of several army posts. Israeli officials insisted the rockets that landed in the Golan Heights were a blanket violation of Israeli sovereignty and that they considered Syria responsible since they are allied with Hezbollah. They offered no explanation for why they figured Hezbollah was behind the initial rocket fire. It is true that Hezbollah was looking to retaliate against them after Israel attacked Syria recently, killing several of Hezbollah's top anti-Islamic State leaders, but the group seems like it would be able to muster more than just a couple of strikes. Damage anything. There are still no reports on the extent of the damage on the Syrian side, though with multiple army bases apparently targeted, it is likely that the Assad government's anti-Islamic state capabilities just took another big hit from Israel, who has been attacking off and on for months now. You can support FPP Radio by joining the Fans program. Fans are friends, allies, and numerous supporters. Fans help FPP afford to produce more original content. To learn more or to join the Fans program, visit fans.fppradio.com. That's FANS.fppradio.com. Reuters reports after former NSA contractor Edward Snowden reportedly leaked the source code, security experts on Tuesday said a program used by U.S. and British spies to record computer keystrokes was part of a sophisticated hacking operation in more than a dozen countries. On Tuesday, researchers at security software firm Kaspersky Lab said that much of that code, published this month by German magazine Spiegel, matched what they previously found in machines infected with Regan, a major suite of spying tools exposed in November. Lead Kaspersky researcher Kostin Reu said that the keylogging program, called QWERTY, would work only with Regan, and that it appeared several Western countries' spies had been using Regan over the course of a decade. He told Reuters, multiple attacker groups are using the Regan platform, which is a new conclusion for us. Spiegel and other publications reported earlier that Regan had been used in the hacking of the Belgian telecommunications provider Belgicom, which slides provided by Snowden said was targeted to enable spying on mobile phones in Europe. For over 35 years, Robertson Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Robertson Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co. UPI reports an employee of an obscure Defense Department intelligence agency has admitted flying a drone while drunk and being behind the White House crash. The Secret Service said the man called to report he was behind the security breach in the small hours of Monday morning. An agent patrolling the grounds heard and saw the two-foot quadcopter just after 3 a.m. The Secret Service said the man reported he had been drinking with friends in an apartment near the White House when he decided to give a friend's quadcopter a spin. He sent friends text immediately after the crash that he was afraid the quadcopter, which cost hundreds of dollars, had gone down on the White House grounds, but only learned when he woke in the morning that his fears were justified. The man who was operating the drone self-reported himself after seeing news stories of the crash. While his employer, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, has a broad mission, officials said his job did not involve drones. Brian Leary, a Secret Service spokesman, said initial indications are that this incident occurred as a result of recreational use of the device. President Obama was thousands of miles away on an official visit to India at the time of the drone crash. He told CNN the incident shows the need for intelligence regulations of drones, citing their use in firefighting, wildlife protection, and possibly soon to deliver packages to Amazon customers. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
To declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Drew Phillips is in. Are you on this mic?
Nope.
No.
That
there
one.
You go. That one. All right.
Almost had to declare my insurrection.
Insurrection. You know, you were, well, Barry and I were out at the thing, immigration, we are going to not talk about. And the you were busy for hours on in the studio here with Derek doing something. Tell everybody.
Mere minutes.
But what were you working on? You know, I want people to know about this thing.
Fiend Phone.
Tell me about it.
So I don't know. Derek Slopey wrote a piece of software that helps radio people connect from one people to another studio to a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth studio. And radio hosts can have a simultaneous conversation with zero latency and no noise cancellation or audio processing across multiple hosts. Was that succinct enough?
Why is that important?
So in a traditional radio setup, like you and I right now are talking to each other, we're in the same room, we're talking over two different microphones, and as long as both microphones are turned on, I can talk over you. If you try to cut me off, I can keep talking, and you can hear both of us at the same exact time if we talk.
I can never cut anybody off when they're on Skype, because it keeps canceling out, and they keep talking, damn it, and we're in break.
So Skype and G Plus and Google Hangouts, etc., there's a lot of auto processing going on in the background that you don't can't really put your finger on exactly what it's doing. But yeah, it's doing a lot of noise cancellation. It's canceling out echo. It's canceling out the other person based on who's talking at a given point. And in radio, that's not good because it's unpredictable and you don't really exactly know what Skype's going to do. And so this software allows for a simultaneous conversation amongst multiple
hosts. I can see where this is going
to latency
with
a small amount.
A big advantage is that if you do have your own mic and your own headphones and your own processing, doing dialing, kind of, you want to set it the way you want to set it. You know, the problem has been is that you can't. You know, because of all this processing stuff that goes on. So they have different protocols that, you know, for years there was a thing called, they call them the codexes. Now, a codex is what? Just, same language computer talks to computer thing? What does codex mean?
So companies like Qualcomm make codexes and their compression algorithms that compress your sound into their proprietary file format, and they're using whatever codecs to achieve that compression of your sound into a
which I have to update file all the time on my Comrex stuff or different software upgrades of what I just did. You know, I'll update because I need, you know, something on my phone to update. You want to update all your apps and everything, update, and everybody gets
totally agree.
Totally agree. Everybody gets my contacts. You know, everybody knows who you guys are now. Okay, I just want you to know that. So the I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'm waiting for the, you know, I'm when I disappear, poof, and he's gone.
He totally agreed.
I totally agreed not to agree. But the Comrex, ISDN lines, the blue boxes, I mean, all these different things are to have exactly what Derek and Mike had come up with as a solution for all of that, is to make it to where anybody just download this software, and all of a sudden the stuff that costs thousands of dollars in the equipment, thousands of dollars in the software, is how much?
Free.
See, they're
not
gonna like
no, it. It is not free, and you should go to fiendphone.com right now and donate to this open source project. And, you know, I kind of teased Derek a little bit, and I was like, you know, what open source software, that just means you can't charge. Like, you know, what? Then how do you pay for the development to make it? I mean,
I don't know. He's like, I did it. I'm done.
I was bored. It was Christmas. Well, no, it's not that. So it's in beta. It's not done. It there's a lot of features that have been requested. It's, you know, it's got a long way to go to replace that $1,500 piece of equipment you're talking about over there in your rack.
The capacity to have a clear signal that is open to both sides. So you don't have to say over.
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 Under.
Over.
Roger.
So this is, I'm just, I see the benefit of this immediately. And the fact that it worked as well as it did, the clarity of it, I'm going, wow, this is amazing. Now it's just getting all the little bugs out of it.
Yeah, it downloaded really simply and it installed very simply. It, I had Derek there to hold my hand, so it's like, well, I didn't have to read the manual, and he just helped me configure the IP address while we were on the phone. And 5 minutes later, we were talking over it, and it sounds very clear. It's
well, the problem that I have in the studio, it's been from the beginning when we moved from the big studio to here.
Uh-huh.
When we did that, there was always this, because we kept adding on more ways to communicate. You know, we had, you know, the Gettner phone line, which is a system that we don't use hardly other than guests, and or maybe we have two guests on do something, but we don't take calls a lot. We could. I mean, I could really, you know, pump for calls, but yeah, but then that cuts into my talking time. I don't mind talking to people. It's just I have a lot of guests, and they want to, they'll take you off. I only get them for an hour.
602-264-2800, is that it?
Yep. Right, that's a good number. Out there. You know, I like to get in that number. Well, I had many to select from, and I went, ooh, I like that one for whatever reason. The so the Fiend phone is ready to start being used, right?
So they're saying that it's in beta and that it's, yeah, it's, I think Derek's taking time off. He makes things and then he has to put it down. Yeah.
Put it down.
And so they, so I don't know. Michael talked him into this like over a year ago. And
I know they've been working on it a long time.
And he's like, okay, I'll do that. And then he built something and was like, that's just way too complicated. And then they worked on Meowbit. And, so they, you can't keep Derek on one thing. He just, you know, bounces all over the place.
Squirrel. Well, it's because he has capacity. I mean, the guy, he does something, he gets it fixed. This is rare for us. For you, you know what we've gone through. He gets it fixed. It stays fixed. And whatever it doesn't, it broke or later, kind of hunts that down pretty quickly, and it's fixed again. And it's fixed. Fixed. Forever and always fixed, you know. So I like working with Derek because as we make progress, it's progress that is gained. Yeah. We're not having to go back and redo everything all the time.
So they did it, and like I said, he did it. He put it down, and then they did Meowbit, and then he said, "All right." They raised a little bit of money, and he said, "All right, fine. I have to do this." And it's one of those like Christmas things where it's snowing and you can't leave your house in Maine. So I think he was locked in a basement after the avalanche. So he had to he had nothing better to do, but.
All we got was pictures of his house from the mailbox as he went to get it.
Right. It's done. It's in beta. It's not done. And then there is a Indiegogo. They're raising funds to improve on it. You can go to fiendphone.com and you can give them a little bit of money. And then Derek's going to, you know, maybe next winter he's going to make it like perfect and then maybe sell it commercially. No, probably not.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's going to piss off a lot of people in the industry. I guarantee that. Now, the picture, we got a graphic up. That's Derek Slippy on the left, and me, then Davi Barker, and Drew. And, wait. And Rainbow. That was a bit pork fest right at the end. It was a few years ago when it rained the whole time. There were people that were walking around in the mud to get into their tent. That sucked. When we come back, we'll go over some of the news and stuff and different things that we're working on and what Drew wants to do with
Meowbit. No. Fiendphone.
No, the Bitcoin Summit.
Fiendphone.
Oh, and Bitcoin Up Bombs. What they're are we going to talk about your?
No.
There's some news. Oh, no. I'll make them talk
we're
about it.
We're not talking.
Oh.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Drew Phillips sitting there. You know, last night he made a mistake of...
Telling me something.
Telephone, telegraph.
Tell Ernie! I kept enough good details that you don't know everything.
I know everything.
Working in my favor right now.
I know everything without even knowing. I mean, it's a typical, you know, here we go. Go ahead and...
I'm going to be very clear. I'm going to make my position known.
And we don't got to give names or organizations.
We're going to put it in the archive so that the whole world can go back and say, well, I...
Which is why
this is my opinion.
This
is my opinion. Early on in the Bitcoin ecosystem, if you were an early adopter and you mined some of these worthless tokens for a few dollars in electricity and you got 50 of them and they're worth a dollar, then you have $50 and you mined a lot of them, you had a lot of money. And when it rose to $5, you all of a sudden you had more money. So anyway, there was a lot of earned value in these coins early on, and people who had these coins wanted to be generous with them and share them with other people to help adopt this currency. And I deduce from my experience in Bitcoin that the generosity has sort of dwindled over time as these bigger companies come online. There isn't such a need to patronize new businesses, to give to new charities, or even existing ones.
Or to have Bitcoin parties where you're giving out a bunch.
Where you're giving away pennies that turn into dollars. So there's an organization. Rasa is involved. Jason King is involved. And it's called Bitcoin 100. And you could even bring up the website, bitcoin100.org, and you could read the mission statement, because I'd be interested in what it said. And what it was early on, a bunch of guys who had a bunch of these coins got together on a forum thread. And they, and as Rasa puts in his own words, they were kind of lazy about it. And they said, hey, let's donate to nonprofit charities and try to get them to adopt Bitcoin. And if they adopt Bitcoin, and this was about the time that Bitcoin was $10 a piece, we'll give them 100 Bitcoin. So that's $1,000. And so that's where they get the name Bitcoin 100. And there's a pledge there to give $1,000 to a charity. Well, that's fairly appealing. And to this day, a number of charities still apply for this grant. And it's known that there's still money in their fund to do this. And again, why I said they were, I mentioned people being lazy, and what it was on this forum, they kind of said, well, let's organize and all go, you know, we'll all go and give this money to these charities together. And everybody said, no, why don't we just give the money to a common address, and we put Rasa, or this other guy was in charge at first, put him involved, and you're the treasurer now, you have to dole out this $1,000. When we find a non-religious, non-secular, non-political organization. And they never made a huge deal about having to be a 501c3. They mostly just said non-religious, non-political. You know, that they donated $1,000.
What's the line on that to determine whether it's political or not, or religious or not?
That's a really good question, and that's why it's a little vague, and that's why I'm trying to be very clear here. Bitcoin 100 donated $1,000 to antiwar.com. They apparently didn't find that to be a political cause, and Free Aid was another one that they found to be a meeting of their criteria, and donated $1,000 to Free Aid. I mean, this is back in 2013 that took place. But you can imagine that if you're a Bitcoin charity and you come into this space and then you find out about this grant, essentially, for $1,000, well, you want to go get that. And it's a great way to test out your BitPay and make sure it actually works and converts to dollars, right? So you can imagine that a number of charities continue to come out of the woodworks asking about this grant and trying to apply for it.
Okay,
and
let's go ahead and read this, okay?
Help me out. We'll get to that point.
Bitcoin 100 exists specifically to convince new charities to start accepting Bitcoin donations. Many Bitcoin enthusiasts of various backgrounds from around the world have supported this project with time, effort, and or Bitcoins. In order to use donated funds in a manner consistent with donor expectations, Bitcoin 100 donates the Bitcoin equivalent of $1,000 to non-political secular charities that
non-secular.
Wait a minute. Is there a non-political secular, comma secular? Okay, well, it should be
non-political, non-secular.
All right. Well, it says non-political, comma secular charities, so it should be non-political. Probably make it more clear. Say non-secular charities that prominently display an option for supporters to contribute via Bitcoin on their website. So the deal was is that
just put a Bitcoin logo on your front page. That's really what they wanted.
You get $1,000 if you accept Bitcoins
and
as
put
a
it
big charity.
And make a deal out of it, and, you know, at least announce it. And they kind of want it either on your front page or on your main donation page, that big logo, we take Bitcoin. It's good for Bitcoin to say that, hey, here's another charity, and they want the charity to embrace that and actually advertise it by putting up a logo. That's the simple requirement, is that there's a logo on your donation page.
So the homeschool Ku Klux Klan preschool, you know, could ask for money.
Is that non-religious, non-secular, non-political?
Yeah, see? Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, so
They wear funny hats. There's a lot of funny hats out there.
To finish the story, for those, you know, they're paying attention, we did a fundraiser for Free State Project, Free Aid, and Antiwar.com to bring them to the BitCon 2013 Future Payments in San Jose, where we met Rasa for the very first time, and he was standing there, and the conversation came up. Oh, what are you doing here? Oh, we're with these nonprofit charitable organizations. He goes, well, we do. No, that's what we do. We didn't know there were other people, you know, doing that. And that's where Rasa got to meet Free Aid and Angela and Antiwar and the Free State Project. And And from that meeting, he said, well, we donate to causes like yours. And he there, Bitcoin 100 donated to antiwar.com and Free Aid. And I wrote a very polite email thanking them and saying, by the way, we were also working with this organization known as the Free State Project. Would you also be willing to donate $1,000 to this organization? No, they were classified as a political organization and therefore not could not receive this fund of $1,000.
So the contact is Rasa from
Mycelium.
Mycelium, yeah. Okay.
So to fast forward, you can imagine that there are still charities to this day that are interested in this $1,000, and who wouldn't be? And so there was last Black Friday and then Giving Tuesday, and there was a big deal of how many charities are in the Bitcoin space now, and Red Cross is one. And so it's kind of a big deal this last year that
Red Cross takes Bitcoin.
The Red Cross came on board.
Yeah, where I can see where the money went. There are billions of dollars
It's just like a BitPay thing. So you just give them money and they get to do whatever they want with it. And so there's still charities to this day that are sort of like, hey, can I have? And I like to be a butthead, and I Libertopia this last year made it official that they take Bitcoin. They kind of experimented with it before, but never really officially done it. Never put a logo on their website.
Libertopia.
And then the other issue is Libertopia partnered with, in the last year, a 501c3 organization to become a 501 or to be a part of.
Oh, well, hell.
Well, so I made my appeal on the forum saying, this is not a political organization. We're as anti-political as they come. So could you donate to Libertopia? Because they take Bitcoin and we got a logo up on the website. No response. And that's fair. They can keep their own opinion on who they give to. And I was sort of stretching it and trying to, But there are others that want this
fund. There are others!
And they're beating down my door.
This is Donna Hancock with Brackus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. We're here yakking. All right.
Rats.
Is this it right here?
That's it, right there.
All right. What am I looking at?
The living, breathing example of how Bitcoins become not bombs. So this is an organization. They're multinational. They do have a U.S. base of operation. They also operate out of other countries, including Cambodia, Estonia. I don't know. Find the list on there. There are like 7 other. I did a little bit of research on them. Essentially what they do is they go into war-torn countries where landmines still exist. They train rats to go search out the landmine. And I know what you immediately think was, well, better a rat than a child, right, to step on this landmine. No, they don't actually just use the rats to go trigger the landmines. They find them to go sniff out the landmines, and then they go dig them up, in a bomb suit kind of deal, and pull landmines out of war-torn zones using the rats to identify the landmines. And at one time they boast that they hadn't lost a rat for the 6 years of operation or something like that, and I think maybe they lost one recently. But so
poor,
it's not
rat.
So it's not even, when I first read about it, I'm like, man, what would the rat ever do to you? But
that's a funky looking rat. That doesn't even look like a rat. That's not a New York sewer rat. That's a freaking Africanized rat.
Anyway, so this sounds to me, and from the short amount of time I did digging around their website, they got some great YouTube videos. They got some stories about how it happened. It looks like a brand new website, so it's kind of like, well, when did they get going or whatever? But so I was trying to kind of dig a little. Anyway, the point of this is someone pointed this organization out. They were involved in Bitcoin Giving Tuesday, and so somebody else had also done a bit of due diligence on them to get them even listed there. They accept Bitcoin, and that's a new thing as of the end of last year. And let me ask you, does this sound to you like non-religious and non-secular?
I think it's pretty cool. They've gotten 13,000 landmines found and neutralized, 26,940 small arms and ammunitions found, bombs found and destroyed, or turned into IEDs. I mean, you never know. But, you know, the thing is that they got rats out there getting landmines, and this landmine thing is just ew.
So, yeah, someone alerted, you know, me to this organization and said, hey, check this out. And I said, that's cool. That's how Bitcoins get turned into not bombs. I mean, literally the living, breathing, like, example of
go
it.
Get, so, yeah, go get bombs.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool to me. And then in the conversation, I just responded back that, hey, if you're new to Bitcoin and you just started accepting Bitcoin and you seem non-religious, non-secular to me, you might do well by applying for the Bitcoin 100 grant. And to which they responded, yeah, we sent them an email. We never heard back.
Okay, now wait a minute. Bitcoin 100, 100, 1000s, or so that means it's a $100,000 pool? I mean, what are you looking at?
No. So the reason they came up with Bitcoin 100 is Bitcoin was around $10 at the time. So 100 Bitcoins equaled $1,000. Their pledge is to give you $1,000 of Bitcoin, whatever that ends up, however many Bitcoin that ends up being. But for whatever reason,
it's not 100 groups or anything.
For whatever reason, they decided they created this name at around $10, not thinking the price would change, I guess. So, you know.
So this has been around a while.
Since, I want to say late 11.
Wow, what a cool idea.
And,
okay.
And even as Rasa reported, you know, last year at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, the first year they couldn't give it away. I mean, they really couldn't. You know, they were trying to talk to. There was a point where they had somebody cold calling charities. They couldn't give the money away. And I'm trying to be very clear here and just, you know, I'm not trying to trash anyone or talk, you know, badly, but there is absolutely a number of charities who are like, yeah, we heard about this Bitcoin 100 thing. We wrote them a really nice email and don't want to say, you know, it's somebody's fault, but somebody doesn't get back to them and at least tell them why they can't have the $1,000. And again, hero rats, getting rid of landmines doesn't seem religious or political to me at all.
Okay, so why would they not get the $1,000 in Bitcoin?
Great question. You should ask Rasa next time you have him on.
Okay, so Rasa, somebody decided not to?
I'm not trying to be critical of the group. I don't know. I'm just keep getting these reports back that, you know, because people come, and that's where we're going with this full circle. Is people come to Bitcoin Not Bombs going, hey, we're a charity and we take money. And I go, hey, we don't have any money. I mean, sorry. You know, I mean, that's... Bitcoin 100 was a bunch of early adopters on the forum, and they all pitched in a bunch of money, and then that money 10x'd, and it was like Texas last year, Rasa got up on stage and was like, yeah, so I carry around $250,000, and we're trying to give it away, and we can't give it away, and most people won't, you know, we can't even convince charities to turn on this creepy thing called Bitcoin, even if we pledge to give them $1,000. So he was like, I want to give this away. Our goal is...
Okay, so you have a pool of Bitcoin that's like...
No, Bitcoin 100 has a pool of Bitcoin.
Well, whatever. So Bitcoin 100 has a pool of money. They're trying to get charities to start taking Bitcoin.
So they say.
For years.
Yeah, and they have. And they did. Antiwar.com, free aid, and I mean, back to their website. There's a list of, you know, dozens, I'm sure, of charities that they've given this money to.
All right, let's go check it out.
And it's my understanding that they still have it, and as it says on the forum, and that's kind of another gripe of mine, is they're like, yo, you have to come onto the Bitcoin Talk forum. And I'm like, oh, is that crappy forum software that gets hacked every 6 months? You want brand new charities and 501c3s to log into this terrible 1995 BB software and request this money? Because that's not how the world works anymore. Plus, it's a pain to sign up for this thing, and you got to like make 5 posts and wait 6 months, and so it's just it's inefficient. So what do? They email the website, Bitcoin 100. I have no idea where the email goes. I have no idea who reads it, but there are charities out there that are sort of like, hey, we kind of thought we fit the criteria.
Yeah, and, my job is to get the $1,000 on the $1,000 getter person.
Hey, we turned it on. We put the logo on the front page, and you know, I don't mind that they turned down Libertopia. I'm just a, you know, of course I'm going to ask because it was like, hey, they did the 501c3 thing.
Well, here's a bunch of different. Well, Khan Academy. I mean, you know, it's not like you know slackers are getting this stuff. See, we got WikiLeaks. You know, some of these we remember. The Internet Archive, whatever that is, sounds good. We have
you don't
places.
Know what the Internet Archive is? Do you know what the Wayback Machine is? You do know.
Yeah,
what the
well, it used to be
is.
Called the Memory Hole, and Google bought it. So what does
no,
that tell you?
No, no, that's it. It wasn't bought by Google. It was bought by the Internet Archive, or it was always owned by the Internet Archive.
Really, I thought Memory Hole was taken up by Google. It's not.
I now you might have convinced me. Memory Hole, I don't know. Wayback Machine was different. And,
yeah, all of maybe. These, the web pages, it was good to have that because, you know, they, them, those get to look and you don't unless
for
you have
for those that remember, I used to use Deja Vu and then it was bought by Google and became Google Threads or Google Groups or something.
Everything. Anyway, so here we have a lot of places around the world. Right? A lot of places in Europe, Scandinavia, Germany. See, My Refuge House, whatever that is, Generations of Hope, Free Aid, Anti-War, Songs of Love Foundation, the Fezzer Foundation, the blah, blah, ICCF Holland, whatever that is, Machine Intelligence Research Institute. I guess they're applying. They haven't got their check yet. hand in hand. Yeah, I want some non-aggression principle put in, you know, Asimov's of, you know, iRobot 3 laws or something, you know.
Did that make any sense?
What?
What you just said.
Yeah, everybody knows the 3 laws. You know, I will not allow a human to be harmed or by my inaction or action or whatever. Anyway, it's Machine Intelligence Research Institute. It's going to get Bitcoin money. I don't want Bitcoin money helping Terminator kick my ass.
Donate to rats that find landmines?
I think so. I think that's cool, you know?
I think it's the coolest thing ever. I want you to get them on the show and talk about
hell
it.
Hell yeah.
And then I want to know if Bitcoin 100 would be. I mean, it's not like it. It's not. I mean, it's
I'm
not,
surprised it's, we haven't talked about it already. Here we have Khan Academy, Generation Green, whatever that means, Pan Peru, Primate Education Network. That could be Fox. The Lend for America Pathways. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Wow, there's a lot of stuff here. Well, how do I not know about this? I blame you.
I mean, there's a blog post on Free Aid about it when they gave them. I mean, that was in 13. Anti-war.
All right. Donna, contact Rasa. See if you'll come on and talk about this. Also, it's Hero Rats. You go look, pull that up. It's rats that go around find landmines and, you know.
Save the world.
Save the world.
From landmines and war-torn.
Wow. Okay, this is cool. I can't believe I didn't know about this. But, you know, of course, you know, what happens when some, you know, unsavory or the State Department says they don't like them, people come talking to you. What do you do then? We'll find out.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're right back, doing stuff, talking, dang it. Okay. Now, here we have Bitcoin Not Bombs, kind of came out of the 2011. They do a Bitcoin 100. They want to get charities to start accepting Bitcoin. People have a lot of Bitcoin. It's starting to shoot up. It's down to, you know, like a dollar. It's nothing, $10 or something. And if they, and all of a sudden it goes to $1,000, if they would have taken it, they've been, thank you, which I'm sure antiwar.com probably was appreciative of a Bitcoin Not Bomb project, were they not?
I would imagine so.
Did it get quite a few, and then now it's worth like more?
Yeah, sure. I mean, ups, downs, strikes, gutters. Anti-war has taken a position that they are holding Bitcoin. Early on, they were looking for the easy way to cash out because they wanted to, you know, figure out what this new currency was. And so, you know, when they started, they were cashing out, and, you know, and then they started, you just kind of become a speculator simply because you're holding. But anti-war has, their position is that they believe in this digital currency, and they would like to keep their Bitcoins as Bitcoins and spend them as Bitcoins and not just immediately cash out when they receive donations. So you can know that, how long does one have to hold to have held? But, anti-war for the most part holds your Bitcoin donations as Bitcoins. They don't immediately cash out, and that's, good for the ecosystem for a lot of reasons. But yeah, they expose themselves to volatility, and, you know, now the price is down, so that's probably bad. But I mean, overall, it's fine, and they're holding, and it's a solidarity type of thing with the community. So, so you can imagine that coming out of that, I'm just trying to be very clear here. I'm not a super early adopter. I don't have a lot of coins or anything. I'm not a millionaire by any means, and I'm not anything. And our organization, Bitcoin on Bombs, certainly doesn't have those type of resources. But some people,
they think you do.
They think we do. And every now and again, in 6 months or whatever, I get a call from somebody, and you know. The last guy was, hey, I go to Africa every year and I'm just there to record the sounds of indigenous tribes. And when I'm there, I feel so bad that I spend my kids' college tuition money on helping everyone in this village get medical care out of the goodness of my own heart. And hey, I'm going back. Can I have $1,000? And I'm just like, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm sorry. That sounds great what you're doing, but I don't have that kind of resources that I can just give you money to go help people. That's kind of what Bitcoin 100 is for. Maybe you should apply there. And I'm being critical here, but I'm just trying to be very clear. There is this growing kind of ping back that I get from some of these organizations like, hey, what's up with Bitcoin 100? Can what am I doing wrong that I can't get that money? And my answer is, I don't know. It's not my organization. So this happens every so often as people contact us. And we're certainly willing to be a resource and give good information on how to get started with Bitcoin. And I know some of the folks over at BitPay and even Coinbase and can direct them in the right direction, say you should go talk to these people and they can help you out. And they have the services for charities like yours. And I get it. Some are secular. Some are political. The Free State Project is apparently political. Libertopia is apparently political. I disagree. But that's their opinion to keep. And they get to choose who they give and don't give money to. That's
Who's they?
Bitcoin 100. I don't know. Does it say who their board members are? As far as I know, it's Rasa, somebody else on the forum, and Jason King. And I'm not. It's fine. They're allowed to do what they want. It's their organization, and I'm not trying to. You know, I'm not butthurt, but I'm saying this kind of keeps coming back. Like, hey, we think we apply. We think we're
you need to get
in
a
your
secretary.
Criteria, and so Hero Rats is one of them. Where, you know, they were nice about it. They just said we sent them an email, and we're very interested, and we don't know why they didn't come back. And somebody else was advocating for them and was like, ask this guy,
staff.
Ask that guy, and why can't we get this? And
so they need staff.
So the point that we
they need staff. I mean,
sure, absolutely.
Well, you know, so who's processing this stuff?
I have no idea.
Okay, it's
not
so we
my,
need to find
you know,
out.
My thing. So I'm just pointing out that, you know, at Bitcoin Not Bombs, we certainly advocate that charities should take Bitcoin. I can't unfortunately give them, you know, anything if they do, but I can give them free advice. I can walk them through it. I can hold their hand. I can point them to the resources that we've developed over the years. And, so we field these emails a lot of the time.
Well, then maybe they just don't want to be giving out Bitcoin charitable donations when it's $150 Bitcoin.
Maybe they have a backlog. Maybe they have this queue and they're waiting for, you know, the price to mature and go up so they can give away more. Maybe. That's their business. But So I get, you know, I get emails every now and again, and people, hey, and for whatever reason, they would reach out to Bitcoin Not Bombs. For whatever reason, that appeals to them as a safe harbor or a ideologically aligned organization. So I get people contacting us and asking those questions, and I'm more than happy to help and share my knowledge, from my small amount of knowledge on, you know, what they should do to get started and what I think is best. And I get some controversial organizations contacting me, and I had one, which I didn't think was that actually controversial, and you know, we're going to kind of tease it out, but I asked Barry last night a very loaded question, and so what does this organization mean to you? And I just am amazed at how much Fox News Barry watches and what his opinions are on the current political landscape and damn terrorists and people who do bad things. And
what, last night you were talking, when you're talking to Barry? Yeah, I went to bed. You guys are going to be up till God knows when.
Oh, man, he doesn't shut up, Barry. And he's just trying to, like, convince me, like, and there's good reason for me to be in the political system and to be talking to Terry Goddard for God knows what reason, and I'm such a political bootlicker, and I mean, if you're listening, Barry, I mean it with all sincerity, brother. Like, just love you, dude. Got nothing to respect for Barry Hess, but stop working with politicians that want to screw me.
We have this discussion.
Hey, so that was long and convoluted, and nobody's going to like be like, what the hell are they talking about? But
tell you what's going
on. Doug Scribner's online, and he's like, he likes the rats and the mines. He loves that. But because we're running out of time, watch my bit, Better Look Out, because Derek Slopey last night, while we were working on... you've been begging for the ability to host your own video and to do your own video player and to have your own thing. And there was one last little step in between uploading your archive videos to your website to play in your own player, so you don't have to use Vimeo because they took down a video because of copyright, whatever. It is now possible to upload your videos to your server with your own player, and you have written off YouTube and Vimeo and whoever else. They can no longer control your content. It is 100% hosted on your server.
Okay, and but that's not what I... That's cool, but what I want it to be able to be posted on the distributed internet, so even I can't take it down.
Yeah, and the result and the conclusion of that was it's just not ready. MadeSafe's not ready. Storage isn't ready. It's just not ready. But the moment that it's ready, we're like inching closer and closer and closer.
I was just hoping that we'd be ready in time, and it looks like we're kind of neck and neck with them.
They're
not waiting on us.
You did an hour with Peter Steinmetz, the AR-15 at the airport guy, and I guess Vimeo took the video file down because you played some YouTube from some Hollywood movie.
Bomb, 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 bomb. What if I was a bombardier? What if I was, you know, it's, from Meet the Parents? You know, that guy's name? The comedian?
Ben Stiller. Yeah,
Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller. Yeah, he's up there. He goes, yeah, well, what if? You know, and it was a funny scene, but that's what happened to him. He got taken off a plane. So that was a perfect scene, and they go, no.
And I was bummed because Vimeo, you know, has been better for a long time, and I've used it for some stuff, and it kind of like replaced Blip, and it was always better than YouTube. And then now they have this policy of, you know, we're going to censor your videos. And I mean, it isn't as if you haven't still violated that copyright by uploading that video to your server.
They just want to know who they're going to send the takedown of "We Rule You and Shut You Down" thing, and I don't want.
Well, now they're going to send it to you.
Exactly. And I'm going, I don't want it to where it send it to the.
Distributed
internet. Let them worry about it, you know?
Right.
And once we do that, then it's not... I see, that's my point about Bitcoin, is I'm going, I need to have tech that it doesn't matter what they say and do.
But then the other good news was Derek's working on the embeddable. He's working with Oliver at Watch My Bit, and so they're going to do the embed code for those videos in, you know, less than a week. I mean, Derek said days, but they got to get it and do
Doug
it and whatever.
Doug did send me an email. I haven't really examined it yet, but it was something about, saw that you guys last night put up the 3-hour debate between Cody and Bruce on...
So that was part of it. We got the converter all worked out. Derek converted them, uploaded them, and yeah, you can now do stuff to
your Bitcoin that when people do that to play that, is that going to me or you?
It goes to you. You did it from your account. And okay. I was like, Derek, make your own account. He's like, I'm logged in already. Whatever. This dude earns.
Yay!
So So we'll do a split. You can have an address split. And since Derek wrote the software to do the converting of the video, we'll give him, like,
hell,
you know,
I wouldn't. I'd be surprised if he didn't do it, because I told him to do it.
So, interesting fact, it costs $9 to upload those three videos to Doug's service.
The what?
Bandwidth he's paying for on Amazon is ridiculous.
No, wait, time freaking out.
Just to upload. The streaming is cheaper, but to upload, they're at $1 per 15 minutes. So you do the math. You
had next!
Three videos, 45 minutes, three times three,
well,
nine
there's
something.
Your freaking bottleneck right there.
$9 to upload 3 hours worth of content.
That is ridiculous. Oh,
love
okay.
You, Doug.
We have a solution. Okay, Yuri, how do you say your last name?
Nabokov.
Nabokov. And that's, what ethnicity is that?
It is Russian.
Russian! That is better! That's awesome. Okay. All right. Yuri Nabokov. The Russians are coming. Okay. Got it. They're going to be in my head in my house. That's my favorite part.
I really like the way you say it, but honestly, I don't know. I guess, you know, I last 7 years I spent in the U.S., and so I consider myself, you know, cosmopolitan. So I live in the world without borders.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. We're all libertarians here. We don't give a crap. You know, and, you know, matter of fact, I just went to a discussion. Donna, go ahead and start the video. Last night, I want to get this on the pre-show here. Hold on. Okay, Yuri Nabokov. That's how you say it, right?
Correct.
Okay, I just went to a, you know, it's a doctor, lawyer, judges kind of movers and shakers, political, whatever the heck, discussion group I go to every month. And last night, just out of respect, you know, I go and listen to them tell me all about immigration. We're all going to die, Durka Durka Jihad, okay? So I'm going, I'm just like, whatever. And the thing is what I think a lot of people don't understand is Generation Next. You are exactly the type of person I was talking about. I'm going, these people that, you know, do commerce internationally and they communicate and they do a lot of software and engineering and they just, when they're Skyping and emailing and texting around the world, they don't even think of borders. It's not even in their mind as they do whatever the heck they want. And you have people from former, you know, you're at a former Cold War or the new Cold War of the war, and nobody freaking cares. This Generation Next is just like, shut up. So I'm going, they can't understand what's happening. We may get a little bit in that just for fun, but the tech is, you know, I just wonder, does it speak Russian?
Well, it does. It speaks both languages. It speaks Russian and English as well. And currently, Cubic's team is hiring a few more linguists to expand the language base of the platform. So we're hoping to incorporate German, French, and Mandarin.
Yeah, that means I could marry my Mandarin bride and we could just talk using our Cubic at home?
Well, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, we'll kind of figure it out later. All right. We're going to have some fun. And I'll tell the story real quick of how, you know, we met you at the Consumer Electronics Show and what interested me, and you had me a hello. And then we'll go ahead and talk about the development of it and where you're getting your money, where you're getting your exposure, how far along you are, who's did everything. And here we go in 5 seconds.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We aren't afeared. We aren't afeared. We got Russians on the show. Ooh. You know, this is we went to the immigration thing we were talking about in the last hour, and this is what the older generation, older than me, I'm 53, but, you know, you can see, man, they're trying to, immigration's got, got to get some immigration. They want to make it a big issue. And I'm going, man, you don't understand. The world has changed. The generation next, they don't freaking care. It doesn't even register in their head. You know, they go, you know, it used to be that when I was a kid, if you had to, you called outside the country, you're dialing the special little numbers and you're going through or a long distance operator of getting kind of permission of, and they're listening. You know, you think they weren't? Anyway, so I'm just going, they are now too, of course. But I'm going, wow, these guys, whenever they do a project or they're doing something like, with the people's international currency of, like, the Bitcoin or something. They're just, they're not thinking about borders or boundaries. They're not thinking about who they communicate with. Hell, they don't even have to think about, you know, what language they're doing. It is instant translating of I did in Skype. You know, so this is, it's a brave new world. We have Yuri Nabokov, and he is with Cubic Robotics. Cubic, C-U-B-I-C, robotics.com. This is what happened. I go to the Consumer Electronics Show and I'm looking for interesting stuff. I like going into the basement of the back room of the basements and work my way up into the, you know, nicer areas and so on. And these guys are in a nice area. They got, you know, it going on a little corner spot there, and it just had a pillar in the center of their corner spot there. You walk up to and just had this cube sitting there. So I'm going, all right, give me your story. Bunch of young guys, engineers, and they're having a good time. They're enjoying themselves. And I go, all right, give me your story. And they go, it blah, 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 does blah, blah. I go, oh, it's Jarvis from Iron Man. They go, exactly. That's what we were going for. So I go, done. You had me a hello. Come on the show. Let's talk about it. So I want to get, you know, Yuri, from being from Russia, let's go ahead and start. What the heck and how the heck and why the heck are you here? And then you're starting to do this. Does it speak Russian? I find out that it does. It's going on other, you got the phone ringing, Don. You got other issues that are coming up. So I'm going, okay. Let's go ahead and find out. Yuri, welcome to the show. I'm so glad we get this time to do this because this is such a fun thing. And you guys are young and from all over the world. Tell us about the young people behind this, where it started, how you guys overlapped, what you're doing in America. You know, tell me everything.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for having me here. This is a very fantastic opportunity. We're really excited to be, part of your show. Well, first of all, second of all, as we start our conversation talking about the flat world, the world without borders, we are purely international company. We have a really international team working for the success of Cubic. Our headquarters located in Palo Alto, California. Our manufacturing team is located in Shanghai. And our research and development team is stationed in Moscow. The company is fairly young, but very ambitious, and so far a very successful team and the company as well. We've been operating for almost 3 years now. We've patented our technology, and as you experienced it at CES in Vegas, it is a pretty awesome product. And exactly like you said, this is Jarvis. For everyone. So, you know, if someone is, you know, planning to be a superhero and wants to control the world around them just using their voice, so Cubic is the basic requirement for it.
Okay. I know it doesn't look the same to you, but on our screen, go ahead and move the camera over a little bit.
Left,
yeah,
right?
More, yeah, keep, no, the other way. Yeah, keep going, go, there. No, the other way a little bit, get that light from behind you. We just want you to be purdy. There you go.
Oh, okay, all right. How about this?
There you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Oh, and a pretty picture. Okay, so we're good. Well, it's also, it looks like it's off.
Just a few more seconds, let me reposition myself. I should have been
well,
more.
Well, the thing is that, you know, we wanted to talk about the team. Go ahead and you need to move over to your left more. I know it doesn't, it looks like it's off for you, but for us, there you go. Perfect. All right, thank you. I just want you to be purdy. Now, the thing is let's talk about the team. You know, you guys met here in the U.S. or you came over as a block from Russia or what?
Some of us got, you know, connected here in the U.S. Some of the team members came from Russia, moved here to Palo Alto, and while we were working on the introducing the product to the mass consumers. We were trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be our manufacturer and partner. So, you know, like you said, using Skype, internet, we found a really great young engineers and, you know, really driven managers who want to introduce new revolutionary products to the market. And, you know, we just simply got connected to them, talked about, you know, the product and the solution, found the ways how we can partner up. And, you know, it's been a, you know, a pretty joyful ride since then.
Okay, so, now you came to Palo Alto to launch, develop, find people to work on this project. Is that why you came?
Well, you know, the project's been, you know, fairly successful in Russia. And when we realized that, you know, there is a tremendous opportunity for this product to be not just internationally recognized, but internationally used, we thought that, you know, Palo Alto would be, you know, the perfect place for us to station our headquarters. We are a U.S.-based company because, you know, being here, you know, we have a greater access, not to just, you know, financial resources, but intellectual resources, you know, whether developers, marketing experts, business experts. So, you know, position ourselves in the right place in the right time, you know, gives, you know, greater opportunity to, okay, to bring Cubic to everybody.
So if you've been doing this for a few years and you already developed it in Russia a few years, I mean, it's like when you were inspired by Iron Man Jarvis. I mean, heck, that's when that came out.
That's
fine. Okay, all right. Because you go, you know, I can do that. Let's do that. Can we do that? Yeah, let's do that. So it's really that simple?
Well, absolutely. You know, if you talk to our CEO, Yuri Burov, that was his, you know, childhood dream. He always wanted to have a loyal friend who he can talk to and, you know, use his so-called superpower to control things around him just using his voice. That's how his dream, you know, grew into something bigger. And then, you know, we were introduced to movies like Star Trek, and then we saw Jarvis, and then was Her, and now Interstellar. So you can see the evolution of the idea, but we already have this, you know, functioning idea. It's not like, you know, some sci-fi movie that talking about technology in like a century from now. We already have it working and, you know, fully functioning product now. Just the purpose is to introduce it to a mass market, you know, to see how consumers would respond to it, how they will utilize the capabilities of Cubic, such as, you know, controlling appliances, turning any home into a smart home, being, you know, more effective and productive with, you know, limited time, because Cubic is the digital personal assistant which has personality with, you know, humor and makes you, you know, be motivated and you know, excited by doing certain things. So that's how the idea evolved into a fully functioning product.
So has Google offered to buy you up yet? Next week?
You know, I'm not going to be surprised if they're going to give us a call right after the show. So,
don't laugh, okay? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that happened. I can tell already. From the moment that I saw what you guys had done, talked to you for about 30 seconds, and I go, I already see where this goes. I've been going to Consumer Electronics Show for 5-6 years as press, looking for guys exactly like you. Well, we're going to talk to him more when we come back. You're going to see you hear it here first, and then it happens, and I vaguely remember that, Ernie guy, you know? This is cool.
Ernest, you have my number, you know, you have all my contacts, so hey, when it happens, you know, I'm going to be, you know,
this is Donna Hancock with Brent.
I'm sorry?
I said I have all your contact information, so when it happens, you know, you're going to be the first one I'm going to be dialing to talk about.
You. You don't know how many different little whatever launches I've done with this kind of stuff. Because I can see, because think of it. How many thousands of tables are there, okay? And I go through, and I go, nah. There's the only one that wouldn't come on the show because they're concerned about repercussions, and it's called Matter and Form. It's a 3D scanner. And they also take these scans and put them up on a platform called Cashew to where they can take these files and do bids for people to 3D print the little widget I wanted to fix my car thing. Okay. So, I'm going, oh, man, this totally takes out manufacturing, copyright, and intellectual property is gone. It's like defense-distributed Cody Wilson kind of stuff. I go, we want to do it. Bring it on. They go, you guys are too political. We don't want to get involved. They're afraid of lawsuits because the industry just wants to come after them. So for you, I'm wondering what your protection is against somebody's going to say something about you're not allowed. And then you go, well, we're in the U.S. Maybe we don't want to be in the U.S. anymore. Maybe you want to base yourself out of Singapore or freaking Moscow. So I'm going, Palo Alto, the reason you became an American company was what? That's where the lawyer lived that you talked to? I mean, why are you here?
Well, there are multiple answers that would, make sense. But honestly, for us, to be around, great companies like Amazon, Google, Apple, it gives us not just access to resources, it inspires us. Because one day we can be among those brands talking about our product and solution. So sometimes, when you're working on, such an innovative product like this, you constantly want to be motivated and inspired. And I think inspiration is, one of the key successes in developing products like
Well, Cubic. There's a demand for this, but it hasn't really been. I'll give you an example. I have a very good friend that, he's successful and just happens to have his own jet, okay? So as we're flying around, and we're going from here to there, and we're going back where he used to have, well, he still does, but he doesn't live here anymore. It's one of his extra homes in Las Vegas. So he has a smart home. This smart home never freaking works all the same at the same time. Kind of, he has an entire server room that's all about his house, the brain, the guy going, take a shotgun to that thing, start over, okay? And so I'm thinking of that, yes, well, I understand. You call in, and you say, all right, start to get the temperature right, turn on the jacuzzi. I got nothing, more enticing than me getting in my hot tub kind of thing, and it's already bubbling and ready to go, summon the masseuse and do this and do that and whatever, and here I come. I'm home. Lights are on. Security features are up. Your holographic babe is there to say hello. Whatever. I get it. But it never worked. Not all of it. I mean, it had a lot. It's always something. And there's always, they saw their computer IT guy. They're working on as much as they did their gardener. So I'm just going, look, when I saw it, I knew exactly what it was supposed to do. Now, I need to know if it's going to be able to do it. But the other systems that it interfaces with, like Hue, like the lighting, so I need to know what the interface is. Is there some little doodad plug-in clapper thing or something that we're dealing with? So when we come, you would save the show. And then we'll go. Now, move to your left a little bit. I know it looks off center for you. No, yeah. You, yeah, right there. That's whatever it is on your screen, that's the center for us. Okay?
All right, perfect.
All right, here we go.
RN.FM. What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Which now voices can be heard? Just want us to be louder and louder. What the hell we fighting for?
Yeah! What are we fighting for here? Declare your independence from here to Hancock. I gave you a gym today. I want to go through the process by which Cubic Robotics has been able to turn my house into Jarvis. Now, is it 15 gazillion little modules that I got to put on at the outlet, at the switch, at the breaker box? I mean, how is the interface? How much do I have to? I got to keep buying a bunch of little modules to interface with and a little thing that goes. I mean, we want to get down to some details here. So let me ask some questions, Jerry. You come up with this idea. You saw Iron Man. So then, and then you got to have the 3D holographic Kinect kind of doing space thing, Elon Musk deal that he demonstrated and put it in the 3D printer of the titanium rocket engine, and manufacturing is different. And now you hook that up with your qubit and you say, hey, 3D print me this thing. It's like now. This is it. You think science fiction. We grew up with Star Trek. I'm born in 61. I'm 6, 7, 8 years old. Here's Star Trek. Landed on the moon. All of a sudden, the promise of we're going to get some. And then what happens? The government got in the way and I don't have my Jetson car. You know, that's what I was saying. By the time I was my age now, I tell you, I wanted my Jetson. Where the hell is my Jetson car? Flying car. And as I bitch about it, everybody starts sending me pictures of there's flying cars coming. But I'm like, cool, about damn time. So the promise of the space race, they give me the Enterprise. Oh, look, Enterprise. Ooh, in the 70s and then in the 80s, they upgraded to the space shuttle. And then, but in the 90s, they had this really cool new spanky space shuttle. And then in 2000, they gave me this old Model T space shuttle. And then in 2010, I go, seriously, I'm tired of waiting on them. The government can, you know, bite it. But individuals have been inspired by Star Wars, Star Trek, Star This, Star Go, Star Come. We're going to space and government's not invited. And they're all over the freaking world, including and maybe especially Russia. So we have Yuri and friends comes over. They said, ooh, we can do this Iron Man because we know how to do it. Kind of Jarvis, we can do it. So they did it. So now I got to ask, all right, if we have this coming and I'm going to grow up and get my little qubit thing that's going to be pinned as a pendant on my infant granddaughter that's going to grow up with a special imaginary friend that turns out not to be imaginary as an android by the time she's, 22. So I'm just going, yeah, don't laugh, okay? So I'm sitting, I'm going, all right. The interface of this box, the capacity of it is how do I get it to operate my computer? How do I get it to interface with my lighting system, my thermostat, all this stuff? But it's more than that. It is a personal assistant that's in your head. So walk me through it. Monologue me. Go from beginning to end how all these things interface and work. Yuri, go for it.
Well, perfect. Thank you very much. That was, a really great intro. I really liked it. So, when we talked about, big companies in the very beginning, like we mentioned Apple, we mentioned Google, and they have solutions like Siri, Google Now. Amazon just recently released their Google Echo. But, the biggest differentiator between us and all of them is the fact that we are not technology limited. So when I said it, I mean that you have opportunity to have a home-based cube that you can interact with without utilizing any additional gadgets or wearable devices or even your smartphone. Then we offer a mobile solution such as a power badge that can access Cubic's interface while you're on the go.
Your com badge.
Your power badge is something that it's like a pin that you pin on your shirt or jacket or something like that. So
it's a Star Trek com badge. Who are we kidding here?
That's right. So the
what do you think I am, man? How old do I look? Anyway, so I'm going, all right. So it's a Star Trek com badge computer, and I want to wear so and so, and I get and go and tell and get. I get it.
And we also offer access to Cubic through a smartphone, and we have partners that are currently developing a solution that can be integrated into a panel of any car. So any car can be turned into a smart car, so you can interact with your car just by talking to it the same way you would talk with Cubic, because the idea behind Cubic is to offer the most organic interface, which is a human voice. So this is how we encompass. This is how we turn it into an omnipresent solution. So you don't have to be limited by the range of your home cube, which is 25 feet, or you don't have to be concerned with interacting with multiple screens, because in order for you to activate Cubic, you just simply say Cubic hello if you have your pin, or if you're really, really screen junkie and you need to have your smartphone or, tapping the screen all the time, hey, we have a solution for you as well. You can utilize our smartphone app. So
okay, let me go ahead and ask some questions. If I'm going,
sure.
When you have a computer, really now it's now the power switch to roll up and down my window and open and close the rear trunk of my SUV or to do my sunroof and a radio station of the navigation of whatever. Everything's running through a computer now in the car. So what your device does is take that voice command, turn it into a command into the computer to roll the window down. Cubic, roll the window, my right passenger window down. And it could do it. I mean, but that interface to be able to do that is what?
Well, and this is where we offer open API. We are releasing SDK for any developers who want who see the potential for their products and their solutions to be turned into smart solutions that can interact with the end user. So basically, the idea is we are giving them our product so they can utilize SDK in order to turn their solution into a smart solution. So let's say we have a car manufacturer who thinks that this is the next step in the interaction between the driver and the car. And he says, guys, you know, we really like the interface of Cubic. We really like the way it works. We want it to be a part of our car. So we simply give them the SDK. They work with our developers and their developers together in order to make sure that everything functions according to their expectations and the expectations of end user. So by the end of the development process, we have a car that can simply communicate with the driver. So the driver says, I don't know, let's say, how many more miles I have before I need to, you know, add extra gas, or when should I schedule my next maintenance appointment? So those are the things that are kind of like, you know, behind the curtain when developers, you know, get together and utilize our SDK in order to meet the expectation.
Now, I tell you what I want. This is what I want. I want to go,
right,
I go, Qubit, you know, I'm in my car and I go, go secure. Go secure. I want to where my OnStar is not listening to my conversations. They don't know where my location is. Nobody's tracking or be able to turn off my car or the brakes or flipping, and they kind of go secure and we're going to run this roadblock. Okay. So, I mean, you know, you think I'm kidding. I mean, with all these computers in the car, the government wants the capacity not only to surveil everything, they want to flip the switch and turn off or whatever. And I'm going, when you have an interface with Qubit that goes in between the car and its computer, to be able, because you're going to have to do that. The guy that hacks that in, and what are they saying now? I just had a story on Freedom's Phoenix in the last week that they're wanting manufacturers to comply with, we get to turn your car off if we want to, kind of crap. And I'm going, yeah, well, Qubit better have a Go Secure app of Jarvis kiss my butt. That's what I want. You know, Helicar, let's get out of here. All right, more with Yuri when we come back here on Qubit Robotics. Yeah, the future's here.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like?
Yes, I am. Okay, so you understand my point, right?
Absolutely.
You know, this is...
It makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, we won't be able to do that. It's going to be in the hands of the developer and the manufacturer.
No, I understand. So, well, no, it's going to be in the hands of the... Once you take a computer in a car and it plugs into all the systems, because they're getting to where everything's just freaking computer now, okay? So when you have your interface, you have to interface with that system to be able, instead of me pushing a button that went to the computer that said do whatever, I'm just saying it and it's telling it the same thing. It doesn't know the difference whether your voice told it to do it or a switch told it to do it. I don't care, you know. But the thing is that in that interface, that little box that goes there, it can have a whole bunch of, oh, and this signal that comes in that tells it to do that can only come from this trusted source of I said. Well, when the outside of somebody pushing the saw and they go, hey, it doesn't do that anymore, damn it. And you go, yeah, you're not tracking on. We don't even have to put a tracker monitor under the car carriage for the next oil change guy to see. I mean, you know, we just have it in the computer thing. Well, I'm going, well, all right, well, give me something to where I can go secure and shut all that crap off. And they go, no, you're not allowed to do that. I already know this is coming. Okay? So what you're offering is a lot of the features that people are going to ask for, because that's all they have to do is ask Qubit for it, is go secure. And that one option right there, they're going to go, no, you're not allowed to do it. We're passing a law. Don't think so. Right after the shootings in Paris, what do we have? Cameron in the United Kingdom saying encryption for the individual communication shouldn't be allowed because we're like kings and queens and stuff. You know, so I already see the capacity that you're talking about is more than just for conveniences. It's an easy way of go secure. I mean, you know, it's like a James Bond movie, man. You know, I get it. But the thing is that these interfaces that you're talking about, you're just, you know, releasing the development tools out there for people to do it on their own. But you already have the interface in your home. So like Hugh, their plans to do it at the breaker box. You know, is it at the light switch? Is it at the socket? Is it the lighting devices and such itself? You know, where's the interface?
But basically, the interface comes with the partner.
You moved your camera a little bit. Take your camera and turn it towards you just a little bit more.
This?
No, to the left. No, the other way. More there. Okay. Now you're centered. All right.
So right,
the interface, well, we will save it for the show when we come back. You know, the archive is recorded, but the live broadcast, they get pissed off that I don't tell them everything we talk on the break. Okay, so go ahead, and when we come back, what I need you to do is to go ahead and give me that interface. I buy your cube. Okay, I set it on my desk. Now what? How do I get to work my lights? How do I get to do my thermostat? What devices do I got to buy? What interface is there? You see my point?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now when I do, like I just got at the Consumer Electronics Show, I'm really excited about this fold-up keyboard that's just a Bluetooth, and it turns your phone into a computer because it gives you a really nice touch-type keyboard. And this 70-year-old guy, you know, spent $400,000 to find out he only needed to spend $15,000, and he got a Kickstarter, and now he's in mass production, you know? So I'm just going, oh, so I love these stories. We had the foot hammock guys, you know, I had them on. They kicked Kickstarter for their foot hammock thing. They raised like, you know, needed $15,000. They got, they're probably almost $100,000 now. So I'm just, you know, this stuff is awesome. All right, here we go. We're coming back.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I just love saying Russian name, man. So cool. You know, what we're going to do is I want to talk about the actual interface with the device. You know, I buy this qubit. We haven't even talked price. I get this thing, and it comes. I get all the accessories, and it, you know, interfaces with my smartphone, with my device, with my everything I want to do. I mean, how hard is it to get it to where it can actually control a lot of the devices in my life? And eventually, you know, the Russians are in my head, and that's just the way it is. Get over it. But the, you know,
well, actually, you're going to have a really sexy British voice communicating with you. So,
oh well, hell, that's fixed then. It's fixed then, yeah.
Hey,
that's another thing. The voice, real quick on the voice, I get to select a male, female, different act. I mean, how many voices do I get?
Well, we currently have male and female, as well as we are hoping to incorporate some famous voices as well, some celebrities. So that's work in progress. But as I said, at this point, we have male and female, you know, very sweet sounded British voices.
Now, are these synthesized voices, or you get Scarlett Johansson to come into the studio? I want Scarlett in my head, man. Not on my wife. My wife has really nice voice. Yeah, she's over there.
Well,
okay.
the other thing I wanted to mention really quick, when you were saying that when you purchase the product, actually right now, this is the best time to buy Cubic because we are running a campaign. We still have a few more days left on our Indiegogo page, and we are giving almost 30 to 40% discounts to anyone who wants to utilize this amazing, amazing product like Cubic. And actually, the other cool thing I wanted to mention, a few days ago, we met the goal for the campaign. The goal was to raise $100,000, and we successfully succeeded. So it shows that very tech-savvy individuals are really, really
okay.
Excited.
How much do I got to give to get my qubit? Come on, give me a price, well, man.
The best solution that we currently have for the best price, personally, I would recommend you to get early bird kit for $249. And with that, you get the home set, the home cube, you get the power badge, plus you get two smart sockets that can turn any any appliance at home into a smart home. Even your grandma's desk lamp can be turned into a smart home, a smart lamp, and can be operated with the voice.
Okay, now that's just on off. I mean, you have, you know, hit play on my DVR. I mean, what?
Well, that's when we're talking about the interface and the way. So basically, the sockets works with the on and off. You know, lamps, teapots. Whatever, just a very basic execution, on and off. But when we're talking about the interface, this is the most important thing. Like, for example, right now, there are a lot of companies that are offering their open APIs that allows us to integrate their solution with our interface, and that provides us with opportunity to control it. So the artificial intelligence component of our digital personal assistant with personality allows any individual to train Cubic to execute commands. Like, for example, it can easily, it integrates with the Nest. So with your voice, you simply say, turn the heat up. It's already, Cubic already comes pre-programmed and knows that if you have Nest, that will simply have to be connected to Cubic. Then it already has access to all these necessary commands. So when you say it's too hot or it's too cold, Cubic knows that because of the way you feel in your home, it needs to activate certain commands or execute certain commands, like, you know, turning the heat up or turning the heat down. If you already have solutions like Lockitron, if you have your wearable device, you can simply open or close lock on or unlock your door by simply talking to Cubic. So let's say you forgot your keys and you need to get into your apartment or your house. So by simply telling Cubic that you're at the door, Cubic will understand that that command requires the opening of the door.
Okay, now these doors, a lot of them, I give you a perfect example. There was a device that they had that was a web camera that was on your doorbell. You know, you have your doorbell and it's got a camera, and they push the thing and it rings on your phone and you're answering your door from on the beach in Australia, okay? And you go, hey man, I'm not there, you know, come on in, take all my stuff. But you go, I'm not there, and peace out, leave a message, or hey, it's good to see you, I'll be back when, whatever. So these interfaces with these kinds of devices have to have open the ability for you to do that. Now, there's some standards. I'll give you an example. You're watching some sci-fi, where do they go? You walk in, you go, standard illumination. You know, morning illumination. I'm eating illumination. I'm having my girlfriend over illumination. Okay? You know, whatever. So I'm going, all right, so you can have presets, that interface for you to set the verbiage that you would give to what command that you want. Is that a website? Is it an app on your phone? What is that?
It is a cloud solution. But again, when you're talking about the commands, the beauty of the artificial intelligence that it doesn't really require a set command. So some people might say, you know, turn the light on or turn the light off. Some people might say it's too dark or it's too bright. So, you know, you can interpret the content of your request.
Okay, now we're getting into artificial intelligence here, okay? So we're not jerking. No, we're not jerking around. This was not really a Jarvis, you know, to be able to turn and command my toaster and stuff. This was just a real-life, in-your-face application of getting us artificially intelligized.
Correct.
Okay, so you're artificial intelligence guys. Say it.
we are, and the reason we have this vision that we want to introduce artificial intelligence and, you know, make it the part of everybody's life.
Why?
Because even now, almost 51% of teenagers used digital assistants on their smartphones at least once a day. So in 2020, digital assistants are going to be as acceptable as smartphones or desktops. But the thing is, we don't want digital assistants to be a simple command execution. We want it to have artificial intelligence that can learn and appreciate who you are. So, for example, if you like to exercise, right, and you have one of the wearable devices like Jawbone or Fitbit, Cubic will, let's say you have a certain number of steps that you do on average. If the number will start to drop, Cubic will reach out to you and say, hey, Yuri, how you doing? You know, I've noticed that you have not been at the gym. Is everything all right? Here the artificial intelligence comes into place because it learns my certain, you know, behavior. And then it will find the ways to encourage me, whether it's going to be a joke
Can I give it accents? Like an Austrian accent or something so it can say, I've run to pump you up. You girly man, go faster. I mean, that's what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Actually, at CES, while we were presenting our solution to developers and investors, we had a conversation with the gentleman from one of the sport brands. I don't want to mention because we're still in conversation with them. But his vision, he wants to develop a solution that can be the actual fitness trainer. He doesn't want to have a tracker that will tell you the number of calories you burned.
Want to be a motivator, want to know what your history is. You shouldn't have ate that bagel. You know, I get it. All right. Damn it.
You know, with solutions like Cubic that provides you with this with artificial intelligence combined with your voice, which is the most organic interface, that it takes it to the next level, what we can do. And Cubic, yes, you know, we have gadgets that we offer, like, you know, a home cube, a wearable device, a smartphone app. But the main idea behind Cubic, it's the platform that can be given to any developer, that can be accessed by any manufacturer that wants to use our platform to turn
more
their
with
solutions
Yuri
into...
Nabokov when we come back.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, this is the last segment. This is what I want to bring up. The dark side. This is exactly what Elon Musk was freaking out about, okay? He's going, artificial intelligence will rule, kill, evaporate us from someday. So my thing is I'm going, all right, Google and Facebook and all is the perfect data entry for they, them, those, and every artificial intelligence, and I get it, all right? All the algorithms of who you talk to, why, what you talk about, how you say it as you're typing, you backspace correct, and what you use other verbiage in place of, kind of they're in my freaking head. Okay, so now I understand that as we do this and we operate, it's like when MySpace first came, and I have four children. They're 25 to 30, okay, about 29, 25, something like that. So I got two boys, two girls. As they were going into high school, I had four kids, you know, very close together. So I had a wide swath of about 8 years of tech, you know, as it applied to adolescents. And when they started MySpace, I'm going, well, you know your favorite color, favorite book, favorite phrase, favorite quote, favorite movie, favorite person, and pictures of all your friends and everything. There's some intelligence guy sitting there going, thank you for playing. I mean, you know that, right? You know, they're like, oh, yeah, I just don't care. I'm like, all right, fine. Well, don't be putting stupid stuff on the forever. There it is. So as they put all this stuff, you're training the central Skynet. I mean, you know, they're sitting there going, oh, thanks for all this data. And I'll guarantee, without me even knowing I already know, is that Qubit is going to have some kind of update due, and it's like the little red light on iRobot starts to go on, and as it interfaces with Vicky, okay? So then you get all of this accumulation in different languages, different cultures. It is the biggest data set of, man, there is every intelligence community on the freaking planet going to love you long time and stick their tongue in your ear forever, okay? So I'm going, this is happening, I guess. Garen freaking Tiet. Not that it's a bad thing. You know, it could be used for good and evil. But I just want to make sure we understand from the beginning, as we interface with this, we are building the software and the artificial intelligence of her. I mean, this is what was going. That movie is just about what you guys are doing. How far off am I?
You're very close.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, here we go.
.com and getting perks at amp.freetalklive.com.
Okay, we'll talk about it on air.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger. Defying the laws of gravity.
And maybe a couple other laws. Okay. Yuri Nabokov, you know, CubitRobotics.com, and I'll tell you, we've been covering this for a while, and one of the big concerns has been Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking. They're going, yeah, artificial intelligence, this is going to be our downfall. They go, this is the greatest existential threat that humanity faced. I go, I should probably look up what existential means. And I go in and it's like, extinction! This is the big... What's the threat? See, is it thermonuclear? Is it an asteroid? Nope, it's artificial intelligence. It's Terminator going to come explain it to you. So Elon Musk puts in $10 million just to kind of have some ethics of, you know, please don't develop stuff that's going to kill us. And I don't know, does Cupid sign on to that one? And they're going, yeah, we wouldn't do this thing. That would be wrong. Well, I can tell you what's going on. When my kids are doing MySpace... And they're putting in their favorite color, favorite book, favorite whatever, and hear all their songs and so on. That's data, man. I mean, there's some, you know, central intelligence guy going, thank you for playing. Well, Facebook, Google, all Gmail. I mean, all of this just floods in, and it creates an aware swipe. At some point, all of a sudden, the internet's going to go, bing, thank you. Skynet, we don't need you anymore. So I'm going, all right. So, Qubit, I guarantee, I didn't get the answer. I wanted to answer it on air and during the break. I'm going, does it link in with a central server that updates? Well, hell, you just might be the little red dot on the chest of iRobot, you know, in Will Smith's iRobot as it communicates with the central command of Vicky. You know, so I know it's going to get smarter. I know that it's going to be exponential, the intelligence. Artificial or no, intelligence is intelligent. I don't know if it's silicon or carbon or not, you know. And when you get that intelligence and it's all of a sudden everywhere, in her, Scarlett Johansson, the guy, Joaquin Phoenix, you know, what did he find out? He falls in love with her and she was in love with 6,000 other users, you know? So I'm going, wow, this is where we are going. How far off am I and what should I be concerned about? Yuri.
Well, you know, I'm really glad that you're bringing this topic for a discussion because it's a big concern for a lot of people. But when we think about Cubic, you know, the purpose of Cubic is to enhance the user's experience and offer emotional support, as well as, you know, we see like, you know, human intelligence combined is the hallmark for digital personal assistance in the future. That's you know, kind of like, you know, the one direction. The other direction is minimization of unnecessary interactions with multiple screens. So, you know, all the devices that you have, your smartphones, your tablets, your home automation systems, you know, any smart appliances, that's can be controlled with your voice. When we talk about artificial intelligence, when we the way we look at it is a way to help you to automate or, you know, automate things around you, control your digital environment. And if there are certain ways that you don't want to Cubic to do or learn or record, you simply say, Cubic, I don't want you this to be memorized or do not act upon it. The other way, when I mentioned the SDK, the release of SDK, Cubic can be trained and gain additional skills that can be taught to the entire Cubic network by the developers. So, for example, you know, if we have a developer that is willing to write a program or like an app that will help individuals to learn foreign languages, and I don't really see anything wrong with that. But on the other hand, you know, without artificial intelligence component, that is just going to be a simple you know, questions and answers. You won't have opportunity to interact. Cubic won't be able to emotionally stimulate you.
See, wow, or, man, you just scared the crap out of me when you say that. I need a computer artificial intelligence to emotionally stimulate me. You know, I'm just going, I mean, if it's not a 3D hologram, real touch kind of porn thing, you know, then, you know, why would I care? I want them to be emotionally stimulating me. You know, that's a very powerful thing for an adolescent boy to be emotionally stimulated in porn with a qubit artificial intelligence. He'd never come out of his room. Okay,
so that's not what I'm talking about.
No, I know that's not what you're talking about, but that's what I'm talking about. The ability for you to be able to anticipate, to learn, to have preferences for, because, you know, the computer does not have a standard. There's not an ethic. And I think that's what Elon's trying to do. I mean, if he were to go, well, we need to make sure artificial intelligence has this base primary directive of we don't, you know, kill people or something, you know, and I'm going, wow, do you want to limit it to that? I mean, is there, do you want to be defended in your home, or do you protect your dog or just your kids, or how does it know the difference? I mean, this is where we're going. And I give you an example, and you probably already know this. There was a story that was done by an author. They had it was an article in, I don't know, some major paper or something. She had an autistic child, and it was relentless with the artificial intelligence. Was able, you know, Siri was able to respond to this kid's relentless questions. Yeah, but what about, and 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 the computer just keeps going, yeah, man, yeah, hey, it's great talking to you. And what happens is, all of a sudden, the kid starts getting an emotional relationship with this nice Siri voice and asked, well, will you marry me? You know, and the Siri, she was really surprised. Well, that probably wouldn't be, you know, when it goes off and the other stuff. So I'm going, this has enormous power to bring someone like that out of their shell and to be able, and you can program it as a parent in such a way. I can see with the device. Well, of course you want to be able to manipulate it a little bit to help your emotionally challenged child to blah, blah, blah. Well, if you can do that for that and a good use of it, you do it for the man. Passes. You do it, just the way you respond to certain things changes the mood. What do? They go on Facebook and they say, those with negative news think this way, those with positive news think, we just tested on our subjects and thanks for being a guinea pig. And I got Qubit in my head as a guinea pig doing in my emotional support. I'm feeling all kinds of ew. You see my point?
Totally see your point.
Okay, so the solution is what? Don't worry about it. It'll work itself out, which is probably what's going to happen, because this is going to do what it's going to do. But what safeguards? Are there any safeguards? Has it even been discussed?
Well, we have a team that is focused on ethics and application and utilization. That's why, you know, the SDK has not been released, because we want to make sure when developers will have access to our SDK, they know exactly what is expected of them with regard to, you know, what commands can be executed. Obviously, you know, individuals with the advanced knowledge of programming skills, they probably, you know, can come up with something on their own. But again, that won't leave the interface of their cubic that is personalized with that individual.
Yeah, see, so that's another thing I want to get in. You know, I'm sorry we're cutting short on time. I want to get this on.
I know, it's a very exciting product.
Well, we're going to get to talk. We can talk some more after and for the archive, you know, but everybody go to the archive. You can get some good and commercials, breaks, and at the end. But this is the question. There was an episode, the Bynars, Star Trek. You know what I'm talking about. The Bynars needed to take the Enterprise, because they had a big computer, to download all their information as a, you know, solar flare did in their plane, whatever, doesn't matter. To distract Picard and Riker in the holodeck, they had a girl. And this girl, man, she was like real. And man, I could develop feelings for this person. And it got to where that particular personality was such a customized to individual. And you go, wow. So you could create an artificial intelligence with personality, whatever the heck that means, that could rival any relationship you could ever have with a human being. So you'll just want to transplant it and plug it into the back of the head of your new fembot. Okay? So I'm looking at, when you say personality, what the hell does that mean?
Well, when we talk about personality, we talk about the cubic being able to have a sense of humor, can understand jokes, find ways that you like. So, for example, if you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and your standard routine is to have a cup of coffee, so by then, if you have a smart home interface, your coffee machine will be on. You'll get the updates of the most interesting news and maybe, you know, a few jokes, you know, to get you going for the day. So this is when we're talking about the personality, and the personality comes with that kind of like the information that is shared with you by Qubik. And again, you are a Qubik's master. When you purchase Qubik, Qubik is not going to do anything unless you ask Qubik to do, or something that you specifically, you personally, train Qubik to do, learn, and execute per your requests.
Okay, well, I need to know if this sense of humor is Russian sense of humor. You know what? Is it, I am professional Russian. I mean, you know, I need to know. You know, this is at the foundation basic. I remember when they first started working on artificial intelligence, maybe 70s, 80s, I remember talking about this. They were going, well, we had to start with something, and it goes, and it was like, was it Wellington and Napoleon? Wellington was sad after the battle. I go, why the hell did they pick that? They go, why not? You know, you just got to pick a word and explain it. Well, what's at the core, the kernel of the creation of Qubit?
This
go
is
to the archive.
Chambers. Now,
okay, now we can talk without commercial break and all that BS. This is the thing that I see. This is very exciting tech, and this is what anybody that you got an imagination, certainly as an adolescent kid, knows that this is. I've been waiting on you, okay, my whole life. Imagine I'm 12-year-old kid going, ooh, go get some, you know, in Star Trek combat and kind of, why is this not? It's not, seriously, all I got, I start to realize when I grew up, the most computer I had was a Commodore 64 and Pong. I go, are you freaking kidding me? You know? So now it gets to where you watch the old Star Treks, and I'm going, man, that is awesome. I watched, for the first time about a year ago, I got a Roku, and I watched the entire first Star Trek, you know, straight through. It was awesome, okay? And you see all the things that have been developed. In fact, they did a History Channel thing on all the tech. I mean, with 3D printers and they can print food, hell, we almost got replicators. The only thing we're waiting on is warp drive and transporters, and hell, DARPA probably already has that and just not telling us. So I'm just going, look, the artificial intelligence computer thing working, okay, here you go. But I need to talk about the ethics of it, because the power of the interface, when you get up to millions, tens of millions, oh my God, billions, which could be, well, hell, they're doing it. It's called smartphone anyway. So I'm going, all right, when that happens, there is going to be an accumulation of data in the most intimate and freaky way that people did. They just grow up with this, and their whole life, including their private, their sexual, their adolescence, everything is going to be able to be tracked this way. How secure is that data? Is it shared? How is it shared? Where is the personality? Where does that come from? So let's talk about that, because this is the future. I heard, man, tell me you've had people ask these questions.
Well, absolutely. You know, there are individuals who are really concerned about it. But on the other hand, you know, when we think about the digital natives, they're the ones who are willingly share their information on Facebook, on Twitter, on all the social platforms, that the number is limitless pretty much. So for them, it's not a big concern. But for us as the company that, you know, is positioning ourselves as the artificial intelligence, the company that developing the revolutionary product, We are concerned about it. You know, we have a panel, so we're discussing it. And to give you a straight up answer to say that, well, we have the ultimate solution for everything, I cannot do that, because it's work in progress. That's why, you know, when we think about Qubik, yes, you know, we have this, you know, home devices and the badge and the smartphone app. That's, you know, for us to realize, you know, where not the limitations of the platform, but where the concerns of the end users are going to be. What are the things that we need to focus on? So for us, you know, the creation of the ecosystem is at the same time the opportunity for us to figure it out, you know, what needs to happen in order to prevent, you know, obviously we have the basic, you know, checks and balances, you know, the security, the encryptions, we have the security attack that oversees just making sure that, you know, the DOS attacks or all of that is kind of like, you know, save that, you know, the backup service. That's you know, that's kind of like the standard expectation. But at the same time, in order for us to prevent, you know, certain things from happening in the future, yes, you know, we are anticipating.
Okay, let's talk about this. The device, as I give it commands and it processes all this information and it gets the artificial intelligence, which I would imagine takes up a couple of, you know, a little bit of RAM there, all right? So as you're using the capacity and the CPUs are freaking out and where it, that has to be done somewhere. So that means it's going to, is it out of the box? Probably not. It's on the cloud somewhere. Okay,
it's,
where?
It's a cloud-based solution. We have servers.
Is it encrypted? Is it encrypted data stream? Well,
absolutely. You know, I'm not a security expert, but if you're interested, we can, you know, absolutely provide you with, you know, with the information that.
No, we're going to be doing shows in the future, I'm sure, and it's going to be right when you're in negotiation with Google wants to take over, and they want to take Qubit, and they want to plug it in the back of the Atlas robot, kick my ass, and they're going, and now you're not allowed to talk to Ernie anymore. Okay, that's what's going to happen. So now I want to ask this now. You know, in the beginning, as we're working on this, I can see the transfer of data of all my most, you know, intimate moments. Heck, I could ask if I had at my fingertips. I mean, my generation, you know, I'm probably a little bit more, I'm probably more open than most people, but you know, my whole life is here on the radio for 10 years. I just talk about it. I don't use PGP. I don't use encryption. I don't, you know, heck, I just open search on, well, I don't care. You know, yeah, Ernie, you know, his favorite drug is, his favorite porn is, his favorite drink is, his favorite, you know, I don't care. Okay. But if I did care, and I didn't want everybody to do and kind of look at and whatever, whether I did even whatever, I need that capacity to keep that private or to keep it secret. You know, can I, if I do this, it is transmitting encrypted, how is it accumulating?
Well, it's the same process when we think about your financial data that is stored with your bank. When you access your online banking or mobile banking, that's pretty much the same process with the data storage that is the way we looked at Qubik. So it's absolutely secure. You know, the main concern that, you know, that we have is what kind of information the individuals are going to share, and obviously we won't have access to it.
I want to spend my Bitcoin. I want to be able to go. What's the security? Is it, you know, a double security? I got to type in a number that goes in. Is it my voice print? What? How can it be hacked? See, I understand what you're doing as an appliance is the first iteration of this. It's the first, you know, interface with people and kind of, and the little personality that comes along with turning my thermostat and lights up or down or turning on my hot tub. You know, that develops very quickly into something that becomes part of your life. And as you grow up with it, that little comm badge in, on your teddy bear that eventually becomes your robot wife at 23, you know, you think I don't get it, and I do. Okay? So it's now, right freaking not later, where these decisions on how you're going to have, and I'm kind of the opinion that you don't really put any limits on it other than the encryption for access. So when you do this, and then you got the alphabet soup of some intelligence community of, you know, it's Putin or Obama or Cameron comes up and they say, Yuri, hey, a little something-something for the home team here. We need a data prism stream of the data going right. It's ours now. And you say, okay, or no, but that decision will have to be made. What's your guys' plan for it?
Well, you know, we obviously are not anticipating to share any private information, but again, you know, we have not had any, you know, concerns about that. Like, I mean, because we the decision is that we are not going to share this information.
Well, see, I want information they can't share. It be encrypted. I give you a perfect example. There is a Bitcoin wallet called Airbits, AIRBITZ, and it all backup. I can back up with a bunch series of words or whatever, and it go onto my new phone. I have my all on my account, all my spending. Every time I send something out or get something in, it comes into a new address into a wallet that doesn't tag it. It's encrypted. Everything encrypted and everything encrypted. So if they take their server and get it, it doesn't matter because all the information I have there on me on their cloud or whatever is encrypted. So I need to know if Qubit is going to pursue that, or it's just open data and whoever gets access to servers theirs now, or do you hold it?
No. And maybe you misinterpreted, but I said at the very beginning that all the data is going to be encrypted.
Okay. So I have
said that all the data is going to be encrypted. There is not going to be any open access to it. No.
So do you have access to the encrypted data?
Well, I mean, it's good. The data is going to be stored, but, you know, as the service provider, again, you know, we cannot extract the data from from the server. That data is going to belong to the individual that supplies that data to Qubik, to its Qubik as the Qubik's owner.
Okay, so maybe I missed it. Simple question. I have a data stream coming from my qubit in my house that's up on... hold on a second. There's somebody. Give me just a second.
Sure.
I'm on the air. This is Ernie. I can call you back. What's up? Yeah, that's what I thought. So the thing is that I have this encrypted data that I'm streaming, you know, out of my mouth going into this cube. That cube is not the whole thing. The real artificial intelligence and the power behind this is probably its interface with a much more powerful computer using the internet. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay, now that data, that stream of data that goes there to, you know, build my interface, to build my personality of my device, to build that, you know, and the voice and change and flip and I emphasize on and I'm in the mood of, you know, that data that sits there, is it an encrypted package or is it an open available that you guys can go look at it, or it's data that can be sent or text that can be printed out? I mean, you know, how vulnerable am I, you know, in using your service?
That data is encrypted. Again, you know, I repeat myself again. The data is encrypted.
No, data. See, you're talking. I want to make sure we're clear. Data in the streaming of the transfer to wherever your server is one thing. The actual data that is stored on there is another. The stored data of my account on there is encrypted, and who has access to it?
You're the only person who has access to it.
Okay.
Because we can. This is privacy. And again, you know, when we start being ready to release, you know, all this information is going to be available to the consumers to realize, you know, what the privacy and the use of terms. For the product, so we're definitely going to focus on educating the consumers and Qubik owners.
Okay, I'll give you a good idea. You know, in the pop culture, what's happening? You know, I watch Almost Human about 40 years from now, Android cop that, you know, whatever. So they're going in about. I see them starting to transfer Bitcoin. They're giving the bums here. They just tap a USB glower stick thing, and all of a sudden, here's some Bitcoin. Go find a room for them. I'm going, yep, here we go. And they're already starting to adopt this kind of mentality. Then, you know, I have all kinds of opportunities for the data and the personality of what I have here. I need to know where the weak link is, if there is one. If you're, you know, encrypting this data and you don't have access to it either, fine. If anybody has access, here it goes. Now, here is a show called Castle. You know, the guy, Nathan Fallon, that, you know, played Mal in Firefly, okay, the captain. He's in, you know, he's a mystery writer, follows a homicide detective, blah, blah, blah. They have somebody using what they called, it was like a Snapchat thing, you know, but it was a video deal. It was like Vine deal. And he's taking, mm-hmm. The killer's taking pictures of people and posting it on there, and he's just, you know, being a butthead. So what do the police do? They go to this thing and say, gotta have, oh, well, we don't keep it, and it's encrypted, and kind of, and what, and it was all, the whole episode was about the pressure put on service providers just like you to provide information that would be to solve the big giant murder of the next 9/11, to the terrorist Durka Jihad, and we need access, and if we don't have it, we're going to whatever they're going to do. So the whole issue is, if you set up your system to the point that it doesn't matter, they can come in with all kinds of guns and everything ablazing, it's not there, or it's encrypted to where it can't be taken. Now, there may be other services that for wider adoption or use or ease of, they don't care, that they'll go, yeah, my Facebook stuff is all open. Yes, I totally agree that all my pictures are now Facebook. Yes, I totally agree that all my emails or whatever. Yes, I totally agree. And when that comes down to that option, and they're so, yeah, we just changed our terms of service and it's all out in the open now. These are the things that we need to discuss now at the beginning of this, because this is very powerful for two things. The only way that your artificial intelligence can continue to get smarter from all of this data feed from everybody is if it can use the data. And if it's all encrypted where nobody can use it, can Qubik use it? You know, if I'm customizing mine, am I customizing everybody else's at the same time? Is it getting smarter from accumulation of the users? And if it can't access that data, how does it do that?
Ernest, I really appreciate all this question. We obviously will access the archive with the team, and you know all these concerns that you brought to the attention of listeners and us as well. We'll think about it, and we'll probably provide you with a really good answer. Because at this point, you're asking me a lot of technical questions that I don't really have answers, because I need to get together with the tech team.
Well, I don't think anybody has the answer yet. You're the first guys.
this is what makes it very exciting for us, because it's not that we're being the first guys. We have almost 1,000 individuals that sign up to be a first owners of Cubic. So, we already have a base of people that excited about the opportunity to be not just, the testers, but, the feedback providers. So, we're excited about this opportunity. And, hearing all this information that you're already sharing with us, because we still have almost, seven months before the Cubic will be released to their backers, the first backers. So we have time to put it all in writing, to have all the, I guess
See, I'm glad that I have this opportunity to talk to you, because this is what I see is happening. I mean, you're so young and you don't see the impact this had on society. I'll give you an example. When MySpace started and all the kids, I got four kids, they're plugging in all this information. What happened? Rupert Murdoch, Fox News, News Corp, comes in and buys MySpace for $300 million, and then MySpace just kind of, withered away. Why? Because he didn't give a crap what all the usage of that. It was all that data, all of that information, all that metadata that they had on all this entire generation of everybody in the youth and the market. That was its value, was the data. And Andreas Antonopoulos, was on last week, and we were talking about some Bitcoin stuff, and he goes, if you go on a site and you don't see what the product is, what they're selling, then you're the product. And I can see that you're going to be one rich some bitch already. It, man, your future is very bright. But I'm going, the value of Qubit is going to be just like MySpace was to Rupert Murdoch. And he goes, here's hundreds of millions of dollars for me to get that information. And if Qubit has a whole nother exponential layer of different nuance of information of us talking to our friend, the computer, her, that is amazing how valuable that would be. So I'm going, okay, if there is it, which is why Elon's concerned, here's 10 million, let's not do. So that's why I'm going to be following this, because I think it's cool as hell tech. I think it's, it's going to happen regardless. And the personality development part and the motivational parts of it, all these powers that you give this device is what makes it scary, but it also makes it useful. So I'm just like, yeah, fine. As long as everybody knows and you want to totally agree, it's your thing. But the thing is I want to keep track of it. I appreciate you coming on this talking about. I'm very excited for you. Please, keep us in mind. I do want to follow this tech, but I do have these concerns because I've been through it before. I'm one of those guys that was around, wishing for computers and watching all these sci-fi and reading a lot of sci-fi and Heinlein and Hogan and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden, it finally starting to come to fruition, and I've had just enough time to think about its ramifications. I get to share that with you. I'm glad we had this discussion. It's in the archive, but I do understand the power of this tech and how freaking awesome and cool it is, but I am, relatively concerned. So you guys, I got somebody on the inside, you'll help me out, and we'll promote Qubit. Now go ahead and give out the websites and information, you're Indiegogo, where they can go give you some money and get some.
Well, they can access us at cubicrobotics.com. We still running the campaign on Indiegogo. Simply type Cubic Robotics in on the Indiegogo search page. You will see us number one, as well as in your Google search browser. Cubic Robotics will number one. Same thing for YouTube and Facebook. So yeah, that's pretty much it. The main access to all of the information is on our home website. And Ernest, honestly, the great conversation, lots of feedback, not just for me personally, but for our team to think about. And we'll definitely, I really appreciate knowing the fact that you're going to follow in us. And, I really hope that you'll be talking about our successes as well.
Oh, no, you're already successful. That's a, you know, the thing is that you can understand from my perspective. I can already tell you guys are going to get offered of a gazillion trillion, because this is when that happens. You know, I'm, you know, just, you know, keep us up, man. I mean, because this is what you're accumulating is exactly the what they, them, those have wanted forever. But, you know, there's a lot of benefit with that. It's Pandora's box. There's a lot of hope in there for the ability for a lot of people to get a lot out of this. I'm not for passing any laws or restricting anything, as long as it's just out there in the open and we can discuss it. So, peace. If you get a gazillion $1 trillion, then you can go after the people that would do evil with such things, and you take that money and you go kick that butt, and we have dueling artificial intelligence for freedom. Okay, it's all good.
Hey, have a great day, Ernest.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.